the most important thing that is going on in my life right now, the all-consuming, all-obsessive, insane thing that's going on right now, Billy Joel. Billy Joel. Billy Joel. If someone cares at all about Billy Joel in any way, shape, or form, talk to me.
You have to learn to pace yourself.
Billy Joel.
Pressure. You're just like everybody else.
Billy Joel.
Pressure.
And I'm banging the old microphone with my headphones, and that's not the way to fly, is it? Get your own copy of the Jolly Old Tune Decks from the Gove. I suppose that's the government mart, is it? GOV Mart, Aurora. 13201 Aurora North. And don't forget, the Tune Decks is the most accurate listing in North, in the Northwest of all the hits. What? Yes.
Hey!
Billy Joel. Billy Joel. Billy Joel. Maybe I got touched by an uncle during that, and maybe that's why I like Billy Joel.
I'm sure you have some cosmic rationale. But here you are with your faith and your feet of advice. You have no scars on your face. And
Billy Joel.
Swingin' Soul Brothers remind you that for information about the National Teachers Corps, which is recruiting teachers to help reach and teach the children of the poor, call your Urban League. You've been walking funny lately, feeling bad, all tight and drawn up in the stomach. It's because of, well, listen closely.
Are you, like millions of Americans, a victim of hemorrhoids?
Welcome!
At some point, I get sick of doing that, like every week, like singing the same song over and over to myself. Like, then again, you'd think that every week doing a show would get to me, wouldn't it? Something. Who knows? It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, everybody. Good morning, and welcome to your Sunday morning fantasy cavalcade on Hear Us Talk. Zabunda. Xanadu. Ha-cha-cha-cha. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Here on Hear Us Talk, I'll be one of your hosts this morning. My name is Chrissy Wissy Pissy Pants. Joining me is my special friend. He wears sunglasses. His name is Fred.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Freddy.
Hello.
Not joining us because he doesn't care at all about our show is our producer, Brian.
I'm not here.
Oh, sorry, Brian. I got confused. And more important than anything else, in his pink glory, poised and ready to strike like a cobra, it's Keith.
Today my name's Porky.
Sorry, it's Porky. Zabu dadu, zabu mafum, I love you. Yeah, I don't think David Bowie has anything to say anymore. Oh, no, maybe he was saying something. You seem like you cut him off there. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com. The hottest of all lines, should you choose to call us, is 877-744-6405. The instant messenger is Best in Show. Anybody? Is anybody logged on? Because I'm sure not. Okay, is Best in Show Keith, if you want to get onto instant messenger today. Because I am not, because I can't find my BlackBerry to do it.
I'm taking complaints today.
Oh, perfect. And that'll be about it. Yeah, so it's a little bit of a hectic morning, a little more hectic than usual. Although, how would that be possible? Because it seems every week is a frantic mess right before the show starts. But it's a little more crazy than usual this week, as I guess we all lost track of time. Keith came in the door like 20 to 11, and I said, oh, I guess I should probably start setting up the computers now that it should have been set up for an hour.
Chris, I saw you trying to give Keith directions on what to do on Brian's job, and it just looked like it was going in one ear and out the other. He looks like a deer in the headlights, Keith.
I was just going to say, was he more like a deer in the headlights, or did he look kind of like a slot machine when the wheels are spinning right before time?
Was I supposed to be listening to that stuff you were
saying? Not at all. Not at all. So please, if you guys can, slam the phone line today. Hit them as hard as possible.
Dueling phones. See who wins out.
Now, I know Brian was also giving Keith, was he giving you stuff to do? Like instructions on how to do things here today, Keith?
I wish I could figure out dialing into my own voicemail and playing Brian's message. It was about 4 minutes before he finally got into the...
He's very long-winded with emails and voicemails.
Hi, Chris. This is Brian, your friend. I just wanted to remind you, if you were not aware as of yet already, albeit you should be, considering last weekend's interactions that we've shared, that this week, that is this coming Sunday, May 4th, 2008, I will not be joining you for the show. I have a wedding in Washington, D.C. And I wish I was joking. I'm obviously paraphrasing slightly.
Brian.
I'm paraphrasing slightly, but just ever so slightly, because that's literally about what the message was. The thing is, we know that Vanessa is actually in a different location today, and she was supposed to be giving the satellite uplink information to Brian in advance of where she was going to be. So right before the show, I go into my voicemail to try and find this information from this poignant and important voicemail from Brian, and instead I got like a 30-minute introduction as to how he wasn't going to be at the show, followed up by Vanessa's regular satellite uplink information, which I already have. Thanks.
Could you give Keith a little test on the board right now? I don't think he even knows how to answer the phones. I'd bet you $5 Keith doesn't even know how to answer the phones, Chris.
Okay, let's see. Hold on. Let's try this right here. If I look on my phone underneath the Brown Lodge, that's how I would call the show.
Perfect. So we'll give him a little test.
Hey, the phone's ringing right on the air.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, there's two of me.
Two of me.
I'm here myself.
Wow, he did a good job.
Yeah, see, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's on the ball. See, there's one thing that they always tell you. I think, did my mic just got shut off? Because I got really low.
You know what I did? I turned off the button that's allowing it to ring.
Okay, I just got confused. It's all right. Don't be ashamed. And so by you, I'm not.
Okay.
The one thing they tell you in the world, like I guess when you do anything in like entertainment or sports, is never be sick, never have a problem, because once they see that they don't need you, then they don't need you. So Brian, it's been great doing a show with you, but we got Keith in the producer's chair now. So good luck. Good luck in all your future endeavors. I hope your new show comes out great.
I did produce in the past. I did produce the Brown Lodge a few times.
Yeah, but that wasn't really producing. The way we did it there, everything was insane. It didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, what was the difference there than you do it here? What would be the essential producer's job?
We separated everything out. We had a separate computer that only did broadcasting on one side of the room, and then I was controlling the board for levels. So the only thing that was really being done was like kicking things off a server on one side of the room. It was a little bit different.
It sounds more high budge than what we're doing here, no?
No, it was much lower. And the thing is, we didn't have as many cameras and things out there. Cameras, by the way, over at hearustalk.com, where you click on video, you'll see my face, you'll see Fred's face, Keith's face, everybody's face. So it's faces. You could also listen to us on the audio there. There's all sorts of things. We're on Pal Talk as well. It's such a magical wonderland. I was supposed to be trying to switch our cameras up this week, and you know, with no time right before the show. One of these days, I'll actually think and prepare and be a person.
Did you work all week today? Was it a hectic week?
Nope, no excuse.
Really, no excuse.
No, I leveled up in Warcraft last night. I made some extra money in Mob Wars on Facebook.
Look at you.
Won a couple of wrestler matches on Facebook.
Doesn't that take all of 15 seconds to level up and to make money in Mob Wars?
Yeah, but you got to keep track of it. So, like, once an hour, I get new money coming in. I got to make sure I deposit it before someone steals it.
Of course.
Oh, see, I've only had like $70 stolen from me so far.
Oh God, no! I've had thousands. I'm now talking about an application on Facebook, which I said last week. If you guys haven't heard back, haven't listened back yet, you could listen again to last week over on the download page over at bestinshowradio.com. I am now 100% obsessed with all the Facebook gaming applications, including Mob Wars, including Wrestler, including Owned. These are the things I'm obsessed with.
Be honest with me, Chris. As you get older, are you getting less and less a productive member of society?
I don't. You know, I would like to say that that's not the case, but I don't think that I was ever all that productive in the first place.
That's true.
Well, yeah, what do you consider a productive member of society? Because his company would probably say he's a productive member, but like...
Professionally, I do more today than I've ever done in my life. It's insane.
Are they aiding society in that way, do you think? Or is that like...
Well, I guess I mean more in his downtime. Like, with time to, you know, to himself, are you getting more and more less
productive?
Have
you joined the Peace Corps?
I haven't joined the Peace Corps. I have not gone to Africa to save AIDS babies or anything like that just yet. But, I don't know, I'm a dad in my spare time. I spend my time rearing a kid. Yesterday I went out to the lovely Camden, New Jersey.
Okay. To the murder capital of the world,
basically.
You got to, by the way, you have to save AIDS babies, because if you spend them all at once, you're screwed.
That's true. It's true. Well, I mean, in my new application, Save the AIDS Baby on Facebook.com, I'm saving them all. I put them in the bank, and it works out very well for me.
The most insulting terminology ever, one of the top 10 might be AIDS baby. AIDS baby? That's going to spread through junior high schools like AIDS.
So I was in Camden, New Jersey, I say, looking at all the AIDS babies. I went down to the Susquehanna Bank Arts Center to go see the Backyardigans live. Speaking of being a dad, that's what I did. I actually spent my Saturday afternoon at a kids' show about 2 hours south of where we live.
You were going to say I saw a raisin in the sun.
What?
Camden, New Jersey, at the Arts Center.
Yeah, no, it was.
Streetcar was yesterday.
Oh, okay. The Backyardigans are there? That's where they're having the Backyardigans concert?
It's touring. It tours around the world. But my daughter's birthday is now 5 days from now, and that was the closest. This is the closest date to her birthday that we can get her to this to see the Backyardigans, relatively close to the house. I could have waited until next month and done it at Madison Square Garden.
The whole family went? All three of you guys went?
What's that?
All three of you guys went?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, my wife doesn't trust me to go out with my daughter. I'll come back, but she'll have, like, one shoe and a black eye if I'm left alone with my daughter. Not for me, mind you.
No explanation of either.
Yeah. And I'll have two black eyes and two shoes, but they'll both be on my hands. Like, I won't even understand what's happening. And a diaper on my face. Meanwhile, my daughter hasn't worn diapers in 2 years.
That's when you shrug. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Was it torture? I mean, to see your child's face smiling probably was great. But to be
smiling.
There...
Smiling.
She was going crazy.
I brought my daughter to a dark room with a bunch of strangers while crazed cartoon characters that she's used to seeing were on stage in costumes with people's faces sticking out of them. This was the thing, I mean, and I know this is, you know, I'm appealing to a very small sect of the population as I critique children's live events. But allow me to point out that what the Backyardigans are. The Backyardigans are a bunch of, like, animal... It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon with these, like, little animal people... go in the backyard, in their backyard, and they have fantasy adventures, and they imagine in their backyard. That's what the deal is behind it. Well, they, like I said, they tell stories, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, the Backyardigans Live, this event down in South Jersey that I went to, they actually, basically in Philly, I was, you know, I literally could have thrown a rock at the Ben Franklin Bridge, you know, and I mean, I could still do that here, I just don't have that good of an arm. But I actually would have had a chance of coming close to it. So these people, like, they get dressed up in these outfits. And I'm thinking it's going to be like Disney World or something, you know, where someone's in the full costume dressed like a thing.
Oh,
instead,
no. Oh, no.
These people were dressed in these costumes, but their faces were cut out. So it's a human face sticking out of this thing. It's like, wait, this is a way to terrorize children. These are not the things that they're used
to
seeing.
You have the human face and the animal face, or is it just the human face?
Just the human face sticking out of it. It just didn't look like it, because my daughter was just like, you know, her favorite character from the show is called Uniqua. She's like, Uniqua? Kind of confused, like, wait, why does her face look like that? These don't look normal, and I don't understand why they wouldn't make them look like they should.
And so, they were probably like 40-year-old actors who can't get a Broadway job.
I gotta be honest with you, they were pretty impressive. Most of them had a fine set of pipes on them. I was expecting, like, you know,
somewhere
over the rainbow. Like, they actually did. They were real good, decent singers and dancers and all that stuff. I was impressed.
I'm sure they got paid a pretty good penny to do that thing.
Yeah, tour the country. They're the Backyardigans live.
I just
don't understand the whole concept of leaving the faces cut out for children. Another thing. I delve into the children's theater, whatever you call it, gimmick, bit, shtick. You're dealing with a show for children, infants, you know, in some cases. Mm-hmm. 45 minutes before an intermission? Try and get a kid to sit for 10 minutes watching something without wanting to piss or, like, run at something or throw a rock at a wall or do something. 45 minutes before Act 1 ends and then the other one. Act 1 ends, my kid looks at me, she's like, all right, can we go home now? Like, oh, happy birthday. This is for you.
So you were probably glad, though.
I was amped. Got on the road, started driving. No, we stood for the whole thing. It was a good time.
That sounds like a good time. I think it's more creepier if you have both the head, two heads. Imagine if you had the actual human face in the actual,
like,
mouth.
two eyes.
in the mouth of the actual, like,
oh,
bear,
my God,
or whatever.
Pablo is eating some other man, and his face is sticking out of his mouth. See, the other issue, like I said, the main issue I have with that is, like, half of these characters, the character Pablo is a penguin. So this penguin doesn't have a beak now. He's a penguin.
Was he played by a Spanish guy, though, in the actual
play? It was hard to tell.
Played by a Swedish girl.
It was hard to tell.
Oh, was there different races? Did they have, like, is Uriqua or whatever?
Uniqua was black. Okay. Tyrone was black. Pablo was white or Hispanic.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what the other ones were. Austin seemed to be flamboyantly white and gay. And I'm trying to think who the other character was. Oh, and Tasha was a fat white girl.
No, like Samuel Goldstein.
I could tell, but I mean, they didn't, believe it or not, they didn't hand out a playbill when you got there for the Backyardigans Live to let you know the years of theater experience that each person had.
Well, anti-Semitism is rampant in children's theater. Everyone knows that.
Oh, really? Is that a thing? That's a big controversial thing.
It's being pointed out by White S. Print in the chat room that he's creeped out by the looks of the guys on Lazy Town. As we go further into children's shows, do you guys have any idea what Lazy Town is?
Heard of it.
It's the creepiest show in the world. Like, they're people.
Sounds like the best town in the world.
Yeah, oh my God, I would love to live there myself. But they're regular people dressed in costumes, but their costumes consist of, like, them looking like exaggerated, and Cro-Magnon, and plastic mustaches, and plastic hair. It's really disturbing looking. My kid won't watch
it. Like Sasquatch almost, they look like?
No, they look like people with, like, you know, with, like, enormous brow bones and giant chins and, like, weird mustaches. But they're real people with, like, prosthetics on their face. Disturbing. I know nothing about that show other than it's creepy.
I'm a fan of The Shapies.
The Shapies?
The Shapies is an Australian show. I think it's off the air there, but it's still on here on, like, one of the public television stations. They're little shapes, but they sing. There's, like, Sally Cylinder.
Bobby Box.
No, it's The Sopranos.
Tony Triangle.
Bobby Box got whacked last week.
Oh, no.
Whacked.
He got de-shaped.
But think of your favorite kid shows. Like, aren't they so different now? Like, Dungeons and Dragons. Like, I remember watching that as a little kid, like a cartoon. Like, I remember cartoons being cartoons. Like, now it's very, like, educational.
Well, there was a whole culture to Saturday morning, like a Saturday morning cartoon thing that was supposed to happen every week, and that doesn't happen anymore.
Yes.
It's not the same thing, because now there's, I mean, you know, you have 24-hour kids networks, as my TV in my living room can attest. I mean, it's there's not much of the cartoon. It's a different time. You know, everyone's more cognizant and aware of what the right things to show kids are. And, you know, it bums you out when you think about the fact that Cookie Monster will no longer eat cookies much because they're not good for him. He'll eat apples.
But Broccoli Man.
Like, could Pee-wee Herman get away with his whole thing?
And he's not a monster. He's actually just like a fella, a well-mannered young man. Broccoli well-mannered young man.
You know what? You were along the right lines. It's Bob Oblong, Paul the Ball, Tammy Triangle, Rex the Rectangle, Sarah Circle, Sally Cylinder, Sammy Square, Starry Star, I don't know what the name is in there, Perry Pyramid from Jane's Addiction.
Triangle.
Connie Cone and Mirror Man. I think he's the villain, Mirror Man.
Weren't you in that band, Mirror Man? You guys were awesome.
Yes, I was. Thank you.
But would you let your kid watch, like, Pee-wee's Playhouse now? Like,
no.
Those things are crazy.
I don't let my daughter watch anything. I let her watch Blue's Clues. I let her watch specifically child educational shows. Well, I mean, we watch Ultimate Fighter together, too, because I need to know what her picks are, and she calls the bookie for me.
I remember being your kid's age and watching, like, V on TV. That was the awesomest, dude.
She calls the bookie, like, "Hi, Monty. Monty, I need some help. What's the spread on the Matt Serra fight?"
"Giants 20 times."
"No, I don't bet over-unders. That's silly."
But how are you? How old are you, Fred?
31.
I was going to say, V.
Because I was definitely like 12.
12, 13 when V was on.
He was like 9.
But I'm 9, okay, 9. But still.
Yeah, when my kid's 9, I'll sit and watch Reservoir Dogs with her. I don't care. Which, like, 9 is an acceptable age.
No.
Wait, what school age is 9?
What are you doing showing a 9-year-old Reservoir Dogs?
Wait, you think it's too young or too old?
It's like third grade. Second or third grade.
No, not second grade.
Yeah, third grade is like 7th. It's like you're like 7 in the second grade.
Okay.
So, like, no, nine, yeah, so we're talking fourth grade. Fourth grade, I was already putting my head up girls' skirts and hanging out. And, you know, and not that they were allowing me to. I was getting beat up when I tried. But I was like sexually aware by the time I was in the fourth grade. And granted, this is my daughter we're talking about here.
Yeah, we're not necessarily saying we wanted to follow your pattern.
But I wouldn't have a problem with her seeing, like, rated, at least PG-13 films.
I did see Scarface when I was
Pulp
10.
Pulp Fiction, then.
When I was 9. I saw Scarface. No, I had to be like 10 when I saw Scarface.
Yeah, that's fine.
Did it mess you up in a way?
No, he's led a stellar life. Yeah. He's done nothing wrong. It's weird that a guy who watched drug films at 11, I don't know. Let's see. What happened to him?
I never chainsawed anyone's arm off.
I remember seeing Clockwork Orange when I was real young and being disturbed by that.
You know why,
like,
No,
that's just a really early age.
Singing in the rain.
I saw Clockwork Orange in 7th grade because my science teacher kept insisting that we watch it. And finally, she kept saying we were going to watch. She was teaching us about...
7th grade, you're like 12.
She was teaching us about...
There's horrible sex scenes in that. Rape.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell 7th grade kids to watch that necessarily. I don't care if they do, but I wouldn't be the one telling them. And then she was kept telling us we're going to watch it in class. And then she came in one day and told us that we weren't going to watch it.
No, we're not going to be watching that. Instead,
and
class,
by the way, you'll have a substitute for the rest of the year.
Instead of that class, enjoy Caligula. Caligula. Penthouse Films presents.
2.
How many farewell
Caligula
letters
2,
did
the unedited version?
Miss Ratchet get? What? That teacher had to.
She was
insane.
A weirdo, that lady. I wish I could remember her name. She wobbled around all strange.
I agree that it's not appropriate to do that in a school, I suppose. But what kind of, like Puritan lives were you living that you'd be shocked by, oh my god, boobies in the 7th grade?
For Clockwork Orange, though? A dude raping a lady with the nose on his mask?
It'd probably go right over your head. You'd think it was funny. Yeah, look at his mask. Hey.
She had the phallic-shaped big statues, and he was putting it, like, in between his legs and, like,
in my science class, yeah.
It was called a beaker, yeah.
Yeah, all right, maybe A Clockwork Orange I don't know. I'm trying to think when I saw it. I probably saw it by the time I was like 13, I guess.
Speaking yeah, totally. Shape, she was shaped like a wet garbage bag.
What changes the shape of a garbage bag with its moisture level?
I think Greta Garbage was Greta Garbage was her shapey name.
Oh, French. Was that the craziest teacher you've ever had?
No, but I think they were all science teachers. I had a teacher. No, I had an awesome.
At that young of an age, there was a difference as to who was your science and who was your what teacher?
Yeah, it's junior high school.
See, I went to Catholic school. Yeah. I don't understand that.
Okay, yeah, sorry. In junior high school, it was like high school basically. You had a homeroom,
just like a junior version of it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, for I think it was for younger kids actually.
They should try naming it appropriately as a result.
They do
it like was miniature high school. I would call it.
It was IS-78.
Okay.
In my South Shore High School, which by the way is closing because it was named the worst school in America, but wow. But I went there for 2 years, and in my freshman year there, the art teacher showed us Andy Warhol movies and used to play the Velvet Underground in the classroom. Are
you kidding me?
I'm sure that you loved it, but I would guess that 85% of the population wanted to murder.
Yeah, they just were freaked out by her, and she was like. She used to say, "You guys shouldn't hang out in Brooklyn. You should go hang out in the East Village or the West Village."
Oh my God!
And guys, here, let me give you a number of my dealer. He'll take care of you. Yeah. 2 for $5, and the first bag is free.
Did you have any crazy teachers, Chris? I remember in Moore there was a crazy art teacher.
Oh, there was a couple. No, see, I got news for you. I wouldn't consider them crazy. I thought the crazy art teachers were the best people. Who? Smith?
Maybe she got transferred. Maybe that's
Smith
her.
Or Miss K?
Miss K. I threw a pretzel at her once and gave the whole classroom detention one time.
Yeah, Miss K was... She was a little... Miss K was probably like... I would consider her like a Vietnam vet.
Yeah. Totally.
Like, that's kind of what she was. Like, she
female version?
Yeah, though? She was, like, all, like, banged up. Like, she was gunshot. Definitely. Like, something bad happened to her. But she was a nice lady. I don't think she was bad, per se.
What? Because you never had, like, an abusive teacher? Like, one that would hit you or anything like that?
In the second grade, Miss Rock used to make a habit of to the unruly boys, which, surprise, surprise, I was one of them. She would pinch our cheeks. And in the fourth grade, if you didn't know, that's prime braces age.
Ooh.
So she would intentionally pinch your cheeks so the wires in your braces would dig into your cheeks.
That's messed up.
Yeah, sounds
she was
fair.
Awesome.
Sounds fair.
Well, I mean, I was unruly. By the way, Vanessa's pointing out in the chat room, her English teacher in high school invited her over to her house and gave her wine.
No. What grade?
Wait, we should save this for her story later.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is that's if that's not a textbook case. Yeah, well, she was a junior. Okay, so she was like 16, 17. You were asking for it. The way you were dressed. Come on.
Honestly.
I remember in like...
The age of consent is like 11, right?
In 6th to 7th grade, getting paddled in the in my Catholic high school by Deacon Pat, who loved to paddle little boys, and you would have to sign your name on the paddle after you got paddled.
Who paddled harder, Deke or Pat?
Definitely Pat.
You would have to sign the paddle, and then he would sign your ass afterwards that said that the deacon was here.
Oh, he was so creepy. He was so creepy, man. It was such a creepy
That's
time.
Actually what he should have had as embedded on the paddle is in backwards. He should have had it embossed to say the deacon was here. So when he whacked your ass, it just said it on there.
Yeah, but that's evidence. Although back then it didn't matter.
Oh, God. Yeah, like I said, Catholic school that I went to, you know, saying that we used to get the living crap knocked out of us, and it was fine. It was acceptable.
Like rulers to the hands and stuff like
that? Rulers to the knuckles all the time. Rulers to the face all the time.
Really? Rulers to the face?
To the face.
That's messed up.
Yeah, when my dad went to Catholic school, he went to a Catholic school in Queens in the 60s. The early to mid 60s, and the
he graduated in 85.
Okay, yeah. Well, the brothers would just punch them right in the face.
See,
it wasn't that hardcore for us. Like we're one generation removed from that. So, we were getting whacked in the face though, but not punched.
Now, how do you think it is now? It's way removed now. Now that people are doing lawsuits.
Yeah, now
and
if
like
someone
that.
Pats a child on the back and says "good job," they're going to jail for 15 to 20 years. It's a totally different scene now.
I worked at a grammar school this week, and in the first grade, I was watching a first grader.
By the way, your brother Chaz is in the chat room, and he's pointing out that deacon also was into using pressure points.
Oh,
that
yes.
He would squeeze the pressure points on you.
He would do like the Spock, the Vulcan grip. Like if you were bad, he'd come up behind you and take you by the neck and start pressure pointing your neck, like where you would have to drop to your knees.
And he would do it to the point that you dropped to your knees?
Yes, and he was in this black... He was like Darth Maul. He looked like Darth Maul. He was in this black, like, habit.
You would think that they would make him not paint his face red and black, but it's not.
He was in a black habit, down to the floor, bald head, and thick Coca-Cola glasses. He looked crazy. He looked crazy.
I'm upset. I find it insane that he would squeeze you into submission and have you on the floor.
Absolutely.
But you guys graduated, so
my brother Bailey. But I watched some first grader this week, and I wanted to so kill him. I never thought I would want to kill somebody to kill a little kid.
Oh, you mean at your job?
Yeah.
At your professional job? What,
little kid had Asperger's, and it's like that, you know, autism that that Chris doesn't believe in. But
no, I 100% believe in autism. I don't believe in OCD.
Oh, in OCDs? Well,
yeah, but autism. I never
I never thought I would want to kill a little kid, but this poor kid just.
This was the kid that you're
watching.
Okay.
The kid just doesn't pick up on social cues. Like, I could give him a mean face, and he'll, like, smile at me. Do you know what I mean? He just doesn't pick up on any social clues at all.
You're aware of the fact that this child actually has you assigned to him, I assume, because he has problems.
Exactly.
I was just going to say, that sounds like he might be autistic.
Yes. I couldn't believe it. It was my first time actually dealing with someone like that. So I just couldn't believe what I was actually doing.
America, are you listening? This is who's taking care of your children. These are the people that have been assigned the task of caring for your child.
But I think I did a good job, though.
Oh, yeah. You didn't punch him in the face. No. You had some restraint, I guess.
No, kid's still alive. I mean, you know.
On life support, but still alive.
You got to use tactics. You got to find out what they like and what they want to do. And
pressure points.
Exactly. You know, you got to say, hey, you're not going to gym today if you're not good. And the kid was good. I'm telling you. Kid loves gym.
And how old is this young man?
First grade. Six, seven.
Man. Oh, my God.
Yeah, nothing. I got to be honest.
He's a monster.
Nothing is making me madder than thinking that this is what you get to do.
It's great. No, you just work with the kid one-on-one. It's a great job. It's an amazing job, but I hope I get a new kid.
It is an amazing job. And in the chat room, White Esperance pointed out, someone has to do the jobs of watching kids for $7.25 an hour.
Oh, no, it's much more than that.
When you get bored of that, there's like some abusive nursing homes you can get a job in.
Awesome.
Yeah, there was no training. Like you didn't have to shadow someone else doing the same job or anything like that.
But you got to take a test. You got to take some tests and
because you could spell, something doesn't prove to me that you can take care of a kid.
Oh yeah, no. All you need is a high school diploma to you know be in the
As long as you know that
Department of Education.
1 - 1 = 0. They know you won't lose the kid. That's good enough for them.
You have to take a child abuse class and a violence prevention class.
So they're teaching you how to abuse.
Yeah, exactly. You got to take all these classes.
Sweep the leg.
But watching kids is good, man. You know what? Because it really makes
you
me...
just run the gamut of emotions in seconds. Yep, on totally. What it is. I hate it. This kid's so annoying. It's really good.
But it's a challenge. It was a challenge to actually have someone listen to you that really doesn't listen to anyone. I don't know how this kid even functions in the real world. It's unbelievable. It was unreal. And this kid is going to have to be taken care of for the rest of his life. He's going to live with his parents for the rest of his life. Could you imagine having a kid? And I couldn't imagine.
Uplifting Radio. It's Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com. Here Sunday mornings on Heroes Talk. Yeah, it's dude. I don't want to get insane.
Look, this
with stuff like that. But it is the most. There's nothing in the world that depresses me more than sad children in any way, shape, or form, and children that have problems specifically. That's why my instant reaction when you said that you hated the kid was to leap over the table and start strangling you, although I know you're making jokes. It's rough. It's a sad, sad thing.
You know what? On that same note, not children anymore, but when you see somebody like that's like obviously in their 40s or 50s with their parents that are in their 70s and they're still like a child, that's like one of the most depressing things I ever, you know.
Can we just be serious? Everything in the world is sad.
Yeah, you're right.
We are sad, sad, awful beings. Some of us are what would be deemed quote unquote worse off than others. Mm-hmm. But I mean, maybe because there's a certain ignorance to a lot of them, to a lot of those people that we're considering worse off. Maybe they're in a better place. But I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just being alive is just this is just an exercise in sadness. Everything about life is just miserable. Don't get me wrong. There's happiness and there's things that are really amazing out there. But seeing a homeless dude sitting at a bus stop stinking and picking through the garbage is just awful.
Yeah, totally.
Hearing about a kid that for the rest of his life isn't going to be able to wipe his own ass is awful. Knowing that sometimes I'm going to miss episodes of Lost and my TiVo's not going to work. Awful. You know, I mean, like things happen.
Like we land here to get attached to things and people that are just going to disappear.
That are going to disappear, you know, or have bad things happen to
them.
Yeah,
and that's it.
But I find the positive. I find in all this awfulness, I find the positive. I try to find the positive in
sure.
it. Sure. When I'm watching this young boy, and I, you know, I feel like I want to put my arms around him and strangle him, but I know
that is finding the positive.
Well, then you think about it, like, then you really think, you know, how this kid has to live, how he doesn't have any friends, he'll never have friends, he doesn't know how to just do the simplest thing.
You know what?
It's so sad.
But I gotta say, I used to work with a guy, back. Maybe about 10 years ago.
This is more of an amateur relationship that you and I have. We don't really work together.
No, sorry. I used to work with a guy back when I worked for Pergament, which is no longer there. And this guy was like very slow, barely talked. His mouth was kind of hanging open. He couldn't really have conversations. At my current job now, this guy's been with like Volunteers of America or something, one of them places he's been living mm-hmm. there. It is, and the dude was already in his 50s when so it's not like he was a young kid. You know, it's not like you have to be taught at a young age. The guy was in his 50s at that time. It's like night and day, the difference. And granted, look, if you have a conversation with the guy, you're not going to think, you know, that there's maybe not something wrong with him. But like I said, it's night and day. He functions. He lives on his own. He comes there. He has conversations. He pays. Right, you know, like, so that I used to think that those places didn't really do anything. I'm actually amazed at some of the work that they do, though. It's incredible.
Yeah, they all. I mean, you would think, I guess, the group home or the programs and stuff like that, that help people. You would think, you know, you almost look at them as like a sad thing. But there's a lot of positivity there and a lot of good stuff to it. I don't know.
One out of 150 kids being born in the United States have some sort of autism.
So now it's just throw out depressing facts.
Or on the spectrum, as it's called.
Yeah, my grandfather died. Keith, your turn.
I'm in his chair.
No, sad things. Oh, I haven't cleaned it since he died.
No, it's sad for the chair. It's like Keith's on it.
It's sad for me, too. I don't know how Brian sits in this chair. It is the most uncomfortable thing on the planet.
Oh, I love that chair.
Ugh.
Don't get me wrong. I much prefer my big office chair that reclines and is comfortable and cushioned. But like the way that the new room setup is done here. That's my work computer setup. So when I work from home during the week, that's where I sit.
Oh, you're crazy!
And I sit in that chair.
With that big comfy chair over there.
But it's the way that the cables are run. Everything is run. done. I really want to redo this whole thing. I watch that show, Clean House, all the time, and I desperately want them to come to New York and just make us a radio.
What's
studio.
Clean House? What is it, on a Home and Garden Network or something like that?
The Learning Channel, something like that. But they come to your house, and if you're a cluttered, messy, disgusting person, i.e., this room, they come in, they rip it apart, and they rework the room for you.
And you watch this?
Oh yeah, why wouldn't I? It's unbelievable. It's a fantasy. It's one of the few shows that's not cartoons that is allowed in my house for my daughter to see. Cause it's just people cleaning a house.
My dad has this guy. Go ahead.
No. So you have to not watch certain things now too. Like you can't watch like crazy. You can't watch Clockwork Orange in here. Right?
Whoa! Are you kidding me? I do not get to watch TV in my house. All I do in my house is there's children's shows while my kids awake. That's it.
That would drive me absolutely insane. I don't know how you're not going insane. I really don't.
I'm not insane. I hide in a room while she's watching those shows, and I play Facebook. I play Facebook Wrestler the whole day.
I'm sorry, Keith. What were you going to say?
No, it's okay. My dad has this guy that moved out of the area of like houses he lives in, and the dude was evicted, and the landlord was telling him that when he went in, the guy lived there for like 15 years or something and stopped paying his rent. So, you know, the guy was a junkie. He kicked him out, whatever. So when he went in, when the owner went in to clean, he had to gut the whole thing because it was so filthy. And he said there was 14 inches of algae in the sink.
No.
Like, if you get to the point that there's any algae at all in your sink, like even a tiny little spot of it, then something very wrong is going on. But for 14 inches of algae to be built up in someone's sink,
that is... I mean, probably the most disgusting thing I do is maybe let the litter box go like one day over than it should be cleaned. I could not imagine having 14 inches of gook being. Oh,
I'm sorry. I had to step out of the room as I was attending to my parenting duties. Who has this gook in their sink?
A guy that was evicted from where my father lives. You know that series of houses where he lives. Mm-hmm. A guy was kicked out. The guy's a junkie. And he got finally evicted, and the owner went in, and he told my dad that he had to clean out the sink, and he had to gut the whole apartment because it was such a mess. But he said there was 14 inches of algae in the sink, because it's real big, deep sinks.
That's delicious.
In the sink. And I said, if you have one tiny bit, there's a problem.
The guy he liked sushi. He would take that, he would mix it with his fish and rice.
And the best part is the guy told the landlord, well, you know what? It's going to cost you so much to repair this. It'd probably be cheaper for you to just let me live here and not pay rent.
Totally.
Like, legitimately coming to him as a prospect. Like, well, this is what I can offer you.
I mean, do you guys have any household chores that you let just go? Like that
yeah, I'm messy, man. If I wake up in the morning and there's glasses and stuff I left out, you know, like, I don't run to the sink and wash my dishes, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I mean, I haven't had an algae problem yet, you know?
I'm really bad about doing dishes, but that's really about it. That's really about it. I mean, I think you also have to understand, because of the nature of my job, I'm not here a lot to do a lot of that household duty. So my wife is screwed. My wife is what we call a work widow, because her husband is dead from his job, so she doesn't get to she doesn't really have my assistance a lot, including you know, things around the house. I'm also not here to make a mess though too. So I guess it's like kind of double edged, because I would be the sloppiest thing in this house.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You let it go.
I'm disgusting, dude.
I can see your laundry. Your laundry probably builds up too, right?
Oh, yeah. I did my laundry this week. I did my laundry on Tuesday or Wednesday night for the first time in a month. Mm-hmm. I was literally down to my last pair of underwear. And the thing is, there are socks and underwear that are in that pile that are a month old.
The
things I wore a month ago. Yeah, 14 inches of algae in that.
How did that hamper smell? Oh, my God.
And you know what? It's not totally hideous.
It's a crusty though, right?
But it's an odd stale smell of just old filthy clothes.
Yeah, once dirty laundry smells like dirty laundry, that laundry smell, it's not. I don't think it's going to get much worse with time, unless you leave it for 2 years and
the moisture. I'm sure the moisture builds up mold or something like that, right?
Well, I'm keeping it in my bedroom. I don't keep it in a pool. Why would moisture build up?
Well, you sweat. You put your stuff. It's wet. Maybe you put a dish towel. A shower towel in there, and it's all.
By the way, it's being pointed out by Chaz in the chat room that there's no way that I own 30 pairs of undies. I actually do, specifically because I know about this. If you'd like, one day I'll bring in all my dirty underwear and we'll hang them around the room so you can see that I probably have close to 40 pairs of underwear. So
I have like 30.
Because I have the emergency pairs and I have the pairs I like.
Really?
Because I have boxer briefs and like kind of tight-fitting ones from when I was a slenderer man. Slenderer? Yeah. More slender man. That you know, like, the things that are only extra larges instead of double extra larges, yes. So they make me look like I'm a real man with a huge package when I put them on.
It's like a girdle. But,
I look like I'm wearing boy shorts.
I might have like 12, over a little over 12 pairs of undies.
How?
I don't know. I just do my laundry.
Do you have laundry in your facilities? Like, do you have like a
My mother lives like 2 blocks away from me, so I do it at my mom's house. So that's good. But I do laundry maybe once a week.
Yeah, the only reason my laundry ever gets done is because my wife every whatever day she's off, she goes to her parents' house and does the laundry.
I can't even imagine having that few underwear.
Yeah.
But I also live a life and that's such that I know that I can't do my laundry very often.
See, I have a problem now with they gave us work shirts that I have to wear, and they gave me 5 of them.
Chaz in the chat room, I have like 10 pair of underwear, and he launders every week. Get the hell out of here. What's wrong with you people?
I would rather a uniform, Keith. I think a uniform is good.
But you know it's going to get to the point where one morning I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to have 10 minutes to shower and leave the house, and I'm going to realize that I don't have my work shirt.
But you'll
already be sleeping in it.
Keep a work shirt there. And just take it off when you leave so you never get it dirty. You can wear one shirt all week.
Oh, I'm sorry. By wearing a shirt, it's not getting dirty?
Well, at work.
Especially you talking.
You and me just sitting here.
I was going to say, don't get me wrong. I know that Keith's not digging ditches where he is, but, like, come on.
I mean, I don't think that's gross. You leave a shirt. You leave a shirt at work. What, do you want me to turn this air conditioner
on? Could you hit the mode button on that and make it be cool?
Maybe if I had 3 shirts underneath it, maybe. Then I would say, it's layered to the point where it's like a sweatshirt. You can rewear it, but... But I don't know about just wearing it.
Is it not air conditioned where you work?
It doesn't matter. I sweat constantly.
Really? Oh, so yeah. You're a sweater too?
I just don't get the stains on my arms, but I sweat a lot, yeah. Hey. Sorry, Chris. I just leaned over and Chris was staring at me kneeling down.
Sorry, I can't shut my microphone off and I'm trying to eat a pretzel, so I had to move all the way away from my
microphone.
And
stare at me while you were doing it.
So, Keith, you think now that you'll have to do a load a week because you only have the 5 shirts now?
Yeah, what's going to happen is one day my wife's not going to do laundry, and it's going to be become a disaster. Yeah.
And so you guys, you guys aren't into the concept of a uniform?
I love the uniform.
No, I do like it better. It's easier.
So, like, if we had to start wearing Best in Show polo shirts to the show, you would be against it or for it?
I'd be for it, definitely.
I would have a place to wear mine now, you know, because I don't want people to know about the show.
Yeah, mine, just like my older underwear, my Best in Show shirt is only a double extra large, so it's a little bit form-fitting at this point.
I would love a uniform for life. An outfit that I wore.
Wake up in the morning, put on that yellow jumpsuit, and just go.
Just go.
I would love the idea if that would be our uniform, just yellow jumpsuit.
I love the idea that Pete Townsend... Pete Townsend got so tired of the mod thing and having to wear a new suit all the time. That's why in the very early 70s, he started the 60s probably was too. He started wearing just those jumpsuits everywhere. It was just like he got a bunch of white jumpsuits and he didn't have to dress after that.
See, why would you get white, though? Why would you get white? You get so easily stained. Yeah, I should call him up. Because really, white's just horrible. If I ever see you wearing, like, that pink that you're wearing is bordering on horrible.
Pink stuff. Which one?
They're just different layers, different levels of fashion that you have here. They're different. You are. I'm trying to think how I would describe you as. I would describe you kind of as like the standard guy. Mm-hmm. You were. It's, you know. Remember when? Was it The Simpsons when he was doing? Was it the car that was the what was the name of the car that he was going to design?
Oh, I don't remember. With his brother, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah,
I have a model of that car in my house.
Yeah, like the regular guy or something like that. That's basically what you wear. You wear the regular guy look. Like you wear a different colored t-shirt, which is generally has no logo on it and is generally an earth tone.
Yes.
And a nice pair of slacks. That's what you wear every day.
Definitely a slacks.
Keith is a little more fashion forward. He's wearing a t-shirt. He's wearing a polo. Sometimes he'll throw a tie on. He's a little bit...
Bit of a dandy, but not too much.
Sort of.
And what are you,
Chris? I'm the unmade bed. I'm the unmade bed. I wear whatever t-shirt and pair of basketball shorts are clean in my house, and that's about, or relatively clean.
I'm starting to fit into my shirts now.
Are you really? You losing weight?
You're really losing weight?
I lost 10 pounds in 3 weeks.
Good for you, buddy. Can I just point out to you? I love you. You cannot notice 10 pounds on your body.
Yeah, no. I had a doctor's appointment. 3 weeks later, I went back, and she told me I lost 9.5, whatever pounds.
Right, so then how would you notice that your clothes are fitting better? Or are you just speaking...
No. My shirts were extra large, so I was to the point where they were tight, and now they're... Because my stomach is going down a little bit, so it's a big deal every inch you lose or so.
Because I could tell you that right now, I am down 14 pounds since going to the doctor, and there's not a way in the world that you would know that I lost 14 pounds. 14 pounds
but
on
you don't feel it at all in your shirts or anything like that?
No, not at all. I don't feel it in my shirts at all. I don't feel... I want to stand in the bathroom nude, flexing, as I do before the shower for about an hour, as I do... I go through my body. Building routine, I don't notice it at all.
You just do the post-workout thing of tightening the muscles after you lift without the lifting.
Yeah, and I do a lot of this when I'm doing, like, I practice my breathing exercise when I'm doing.
Oh. What's contributing to your weight loss, Keith? What do you think?
Well,
the big question in the chat room from Rob Giggs is, hey, can you see your penis yet? When you look down, can you see your penis?
No,
not while you're here in the chair.
No, my stomach is still giant. But I haven't had any alcohol in like a month now.
Oh, see, that's good. That'll
do. And I haven't had any bad food pretty much. Yeah, I've been eating like fruit and yogurt for lunch and not really anything that bad for dinner either, so.
You haven't been throwing up, have you?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Be honest.
I don't want to give myself more esophagus problems.
I know, definitely, dude. It'll rot you. And your fingers, too. I heard your fingers start rotting, too.
Well, your fingers smell after you stick them down your throat.
The acid. Oh.
I mean, you could wash them, but, you know, soap, recession, it's rough. Plus, I got to get up and walk. Well, I have to get up and walk to the bathroom after I stick my fingers down my throat in my bedroom.
Oh. And what do you think is contributing to your weight loss, Chris? Just that you've been still on the one-day-a-week drink?
Not one day a week. It's moved up a little bit, but my drinking is vastly decreased. That's why actually you notice I'm back on the vodka today because I feel like beer is bad for me. I'm probably drinking like 3 days a week.
Oh, that's not bad. That's good.
Whereas I used to drink like 8
days.
basically. So that's the main thing. I'm also working. It's my work has been crazy. It hasn't even been like I've been trying. I put in a timesheet 2 weeks ago for 83 hours in 1 week.
Oof.
And I don't go to work bringing food. I bring my breakfast and lunch with me. I don't bring my dinner with me. So the nights when I work till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night and then come home, I don't eat dinner at that point. I just, you know, I'll go on the computer and screw around for 10 minutes and then just go to bed. So I've been missing a lot of meals, which I know is very sad. It reminds you, as we think back to, you know, sad, like, children of the world, like the starving kids in Africa. Think of me when you think of that. Sometimes I'm only taking in 3,000 calories a day instead of 15,000. Just think about that and cry yourself to sleep, Sally Struthers.
Belly all distended.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's
fly landing on your eyeball.
That's why my stomach is so big. It's all distended from lack of food being put in it. It's filled with gases. I'm digesting myself.
I had the flu last week, and I refused to go to the doctor, and I think I'm still sick. I've been, like, sick for, like, 10 days.
That will last forever.
I know, right? Should yes. I go? I should go to the doctor.
You
right?
should go to the doctor. I hate to be boring getting older guy, but now I tell everyone you should always go to the doctor for everything because you should.
I went to the dentist, though.
I am pro-health.
See, I'd rather go to the dentist than the doctor. Like, I know.
I don't think it's a trade-off. I don't think you get to pick one.
Really?
Fred, I'm sorry. You have cancer. No, no. You don't understand. I got a root canal last week. I'm fine.
My teeth are so white. Look.
Exactly. I had to get a cavity
look
done.
Look at these veneers.
Perfect.
See, I would rather go to the doctor than the dentist anyway.
Really?
Yeah, I hate the dentist. I don't like people putting things in my mouth. Especially x-rays, I can't tolerate
that.
Yeah,
but if you go to the doctor, they might be putting stuff up things other places.
Yeah, but they can knock me out first, and they can do what they want.
They're not going to knock you out to do, like, a... What do they do? A pap smear on you? What would they do to you? it's a prostate? You guys get your prostate checked yet?
Yeah, sure.
We got to do that 40. 40, we got to go do.
Yeah, you could do it earlier if you got cancer in your family.
You want to go get a prostate check together?
Yeah, let's get an adjoining suite. And Siamese twin doctors to do it both at the same time.
You want to see if they have a double-ended camera? Or maybe triple-ended so we could all...
We should ask Vanessa if any of her friends over at her old job could help us out with one of those.
I'm scared of getting that exam, though. I'm just scared, frightened of it. Because, like, prostate cancer's in my family.
And... Well, I'm actually supposed... I was supposed to go get my endoscopy yesterday. Or the day before yesterday. I wound up canceling it because I was sick last week and I took aspirin. You can't take aspirin for the week before.
Oddly enough about that, I practically begged my doctor this week to send me for an endoscopy, and she told me twice. She said, no, let's just let the medicine, you know, keep taking the medicine for a month, and then we'll see. And then I told her that, you know, sometimes when I eat, I have to breathe heavy, and I hear wheezing in my chest. She's like, well, you should get scoped then. And I was like, all right, so can we make an appointment now? And she's like, no, come back in a month, see what happens. I was like, damn, come on.
Your doctor versus my doctor, it's amazing. My guy was like, hey, my name's Chris. He's like, all right, so your endoscopy is this day. And you're just like, I have a bleeding ulcer coming through my chest. Yeah. Try rub a little olive oil on that. See if it helps it.
Is the endoscopy down the mouth?
Endoscopy is looking at your ass through your mouth, as opposed to the colonoscopy where they look at your mouth through your ass.
Wait a minute. No, you're being silly.
I'm being silly. They're both looking at your stomach, just or the pathways to the stomach. Just one is through the ass, one is through the mouth. I was going to go for the mouth one. The ass was the next one to go to after that.
Do they look at everything on the way down, like your esophagus and your intestines and the whole thing? Oh, are you up for that or are you not up for that?
What do you mean?
Are you passed out for that or are you still, are you up?
No, you're unconscious.
You're unconscious.
I thought you meant like, was like, oh, am I amped for it? Like, hey, you psyched? Are you up for that?
No, because I could not.
Go, team, all right, woo, do it.
I'm a gagger. I could not take that thing down without like going, that would be so traumatic.
That's my problem. That's why I hate the dentist, but they knock you out for it. They sedate you completely. So
by the way, nothing to me is more disturbing than the fact that Rob Giggs in the chat room is suggesting that Vanessa do the test and take the gay out of it, and Vanessa responding with snapping her rubber gloves on. I want no one going, anyone that I personally know, much like a few weeks back I talked about wanting to see all my friends naked on my whatever nude space when it comes up, or thegirlyouknow.com naked. I do not want to be physically penetrated by anyone that I know. It's disturbing.
It is disturbing. And you know they're not going to have a nice soft touch, you know?
Gentle.
I'd be gentle on you.
Hey, that's on the air.
I don't know. The button's in both positions now.
Much better.
Oh, man. You saw me press the town.
Right? I never thought I'd say it. I can't wait for Brian to be back. Oh, my God.
I got it taken care of.
Look at Keith. He's going crazy. He's turning red.
Well, he's a little embarrassed. He just hit a phone on the air when he was supposed to be going to a satellite instead of a phone. These things happen. What do you do?
But he's doing a better job than I thought. I really thought this would
be... He's calm. He's cool. He's relaxed. Well, he doesn't have to. We have a show that's so dull and boring that no one calls in. So he's never... He's not going to be... he's not going to have an issue. He'll be fine.
But look at it. Look at that shirt. Do you think it goes with his skin tone? I mean, really. Like, his skin is pink. Well, his shirt is pink.
I told you I went to go see the Backyardigans live yesterday. There's a character, Uniqua, who's all just a solid pink glob. That's who I'm doing the show with.
Do you have any of the songs they played? Yeah. You want to give people some Backyardigans music or...
What, right off the bat, you want me to hit some Backyardigans music? Hold on, let me look on my MP3 player. Let me see if I can find some. I do have, what the hell is it? I have, that's right, we're right, put on the fight. It's something from the Knight's Tales that I have. Wow, you just sprung it on me, you son of a bitch. Oh, here it is. Here's that Backyardigans song. Hey Donna, did you see Backyardigans live? I did. Hey buddy. Hey bud.
It gets smoother every week.
Oh god, smoother. Yeah. It's very slow. The thing is, like, I'm sitting here making fun of Keith the whole time, and then he's sort of like, alright, so you got the music ready? Like, oh god damn it. God damn it.
So how do I sound? Because I don't have Brian to do a little...
You sound great.
You sound fantastic. Testing. Lovely as always. A little hot, but that's fine. It'll work out just fine. So what's going on, buddy?
I am in Fort Worth, Texas, where a 21-year-old was arrested this week for attempting to cash a $360 billion personal check. Charles Ray Fuller drew the suspicion of Chase bank tellers when he presented a check for cashing with 10 zeros. He said his girlfriend's mother had given him the check, but when the bank called her, she, of course, knew nothing about it. She was also amused at the thought that she might have $360 billion in her checking account. When arrested, Mr. Fuller was also found with a .25-caliber handgun and marijuana. He has been charged with forgery, illegally carrying a weapon, and drug possession. And possibly the stupidest part of this whole story, he said he wanted the money to start a record company. Charles Ray Fuller is a baffling enigma to me. Did he steal the check with $360 billion specifically in mind? Or did he just get carried away with the zeros, thinking, okay, one more. All right, one more. Did he realize he had written the check for $360 billion? How did he intend to carry that much money? I found the statistics for $315 billion $1 bills, and the pile would be 125 feet wide, 200 feet deep, and 450 feet tall. Even if they assembled it in $100 bills, well, you do the math. Did he believe that banks keep that much money on hand just in case? It's the bank. They have all the money. And finally, he wanted to start a record company called Fuller Comp and Entertainment. Don't people start companies in order to try to make $360 billion? If you already have $360 billion, would you be looking for a risky investment to put it in? You've already got $360 billion. Charles Ray Fuller, super brain genius. And for Best in Show Radio News, I'm Vanessa Cheatwood.
Unbelievably exciting. I would think that if I was able to commit some sort of check fraud of some sort, and, you know, try and get some extra money, I might go for like 40. I might try $40.
No, not $40 billion. Not $40.
Billions, billions. At what point do you think billions is an acceptable number? That is insane to me. It's
no. The most ridiculous thing is he was going to start an entertainment business with it, a record company. That is unreal.
With the same name that he tried to cash the check with, because nobody's going to connect the multi billionaire record company owner who happens to have the same name as the guy that cashed that $360 billion check we let go by.
By the way, Keith, on an unrelated story, tell your mom not to worry about that that new radio studio thing that I was talking to her about, and the check that was just cashed to her, written to her account for $46 million.
What would you do with
We're gonna have a nice studio.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
What would you do with $360 billion?
$360 billion.
Just fall asleep for the rest of your life.
Well, I'd
run and jump off a cliff at that point, because something's got to be wrong if you have $360 billion.
I couldn't imagine doing much of anything, really. I would probably still want to do a radio show. That's about it.
With 360 billion?
Believe it or not, this isn't for the money. That's not what I'm doing. This is a labor of love. I'm not doing it for all the cash rewards that we're receiving. That's about it. I'd buy my in-law's house, and then I would buy I don't have to buy my in-law's house. I'd buy my mom's house for her. I'd buy my dad a house, and that's about it. And then I'd buy myself a country, a small country.
What's the most elaborate thing, lavish thing that you would buy yourself?
Give me the number again.
360 bill.
The same that this guy. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know. I'd buy a state. I would buy a whole country of some sort. I would build a castle with a moat.
You could finance wars.
Oh my god, $360 billion. That would be awesome. I would totally finance a war and have dudes marching with a flag of my face on it. That would be fantastic.
Keith would buy David Bowie.
I think he's got $360 billion.
I was going to say, I think that's a little cheap for him. Yeah, I couldn't. I really would just buy, not to be boring, but I would just buy a whole bunch of place to be. I would create my own little amusement park, Chrisland.
That's pretty good.
With only me allowed in. Population me.
What about you, Vanessa? What would you do with $360 bill?
Charity, of course.
A charity?
Tons and tons of charity.
The Vanessa Cheatwood Fund?
Yes. I've got that going now. It's it gets strippers off the pole.
I think I would spend $350 billion legitimately on all types of charities and things like that, and I would take the hit and only live with $10 billion myself.
Wow, you're really a good guy. Aww. You're really an unbelievable guy. Yeah. I honestly would love to do something. I would love to do something maybe to get people to stop eating animals. Could that possibly work? Is there a way to do that?
Buy all the animals.
Buy all the animals and then burn them so people can't kill them for food.
I would start a huge disease and then cure it. With $360 bill.
So you want to be known as the guy who cured the disease?
But secretly I'll have started it as well.
Awesome.
You don't want to just cure one of them that's out there?
No, definitely not.
So you'd be like the trash man and then like the sanitation department at the same time.
Exactly. But you name it after yourself, of course.
Cooties? You'd name it Cooties after you?
Hey, Vanessa, what state was this in? It's Texas?
In Texas.
Oh my God.
Yes.
My favorite part of that story is that they said when the bank contacted the woman, she said, no, I did not write a check for $360 billion.
Yeah, oh, they even called her to ask. Yeah. I mean, come on. You're a little overdrawn. I have a check here being presented for $360 billion.
And your account balance is $3,000. So you're a little off.
And is he going to jail? Would you go to jail for a long time for something like this?
For check fraud? Yeah, of course. I don't know how much time. Probably 10 years.
Really?
It's a white-collar crime. They don't consider that like a...
Not to mention he was carrying a weapon and some marijuana on him also, so...
That's true.
Yeah, but that's not related to the...
You're going
to
get away with the... If you think you're going to, actually cash a check, you go to the bank with a gun.
Yeah.
Maybe he thought he'd have to protect it. I'm going to have $360 billion on me.
Right.
So, I need a gun.
That's true. Because especially if it was in, quarters or something... That was going to be so obvious.
If it was in quarters, wouldn't he have the gun turret on the tractor, on the side of the tractor trailer needed to take that? Actually, I don't even think it could fit in a tractor trailer, that much money in quarters.
Maybe he meant to cash it at Fort Knox, not Fort Worth Bank.
That is the craziest story I've ever heard.
You ever push any fake checks?
No. I never had a checkbook until I got married.
Oh, sorry. Are you an adult? I forgot.
I forgot.
You're nine.
No, never credit card fraud, check fraud, never anything like that. I wasn't that ballsy.
I'm trying to think of this.
I have known a lot of people that took credit card numbers and did funny things with them.
Jokes.
We move in certain circles.
Jokes.
And yeah, no one in that room, I don't think.
Well, what funny things? What did they buy? They bought somebody a pony with their with a credit card.
Oh my God.
Bikes. People buy bikes.
Funny, they bought a blind child of Viewmaster.
I get it. It's irony. I get it.
How about you guys? Chris, Keith, any check fraud? Credit card fraud?
Not intentional. I bounced checks like crazy, but not intentionally.
I bounced checks on a weekly basis still to this day.
Is it still embarrassing to you as the first time, or no? You guys got
it's not embarrassing. It's annoying. It's annoying when you get those fees and all that. It's not even bounce checks for me. It's online payments.
It's annoying that I didn't have the money I needed to buy the thing I wanted.
I pay bills online, and then all of a sudden there's like there's a random $150 charge from the Forever 21, which ironically is right near where my wife works. I think somebody probably stole her debit card and went in there to shop.
So that's the biggest thing. No, just bounce checks with you.
Yeah. Financially, no. I'm not. I don't want to say I'm responsible. Obviously, as I've already detailed my probably close to $50,000 of debt on my American Express card, which is why I really don't have a good credit card anymore, and I live check to check at this point because I can't have credit. But no, I've never done anything bad, like illegal bad, anything like that.
You want a check for $50,000? I'll write you out one.
Oh my god, that would be awesome. I actually think I wrote someone out a check for like $100 million and trusted that they wouldn't try and cash it. And they didn't, luckily.
They didn't cash it?
Yeah, no, I wrote it to like a friend of ours. I'm trying to think of it. Any day now. To be quite honest, it might be Monty for all I know. I want to say I think I wrote Monty a check for like $100,000. For my wife, when I first started dating her, I wrote her a check for $1 million and said, "Hey, if you want $1 million,
she would date you."
Yeah, exactly. Give me a baby, date me. I'm trying to remember what the gimmick was behind it, but I definitely wrote her $1 million check, and then her friend wrote void on it just in case. Like, stop.
Monty still has that blank that $1 million check waiting for you to become a millionaire.
The more I'm thinking about it, I don't think that the check to Monty was real. I think I wrote it on a piece of paper. Like, I think I wrote like an IOU. I definitely did write my wife a check for $1 million, though. I'd love to find that.
She should cash it.
Yeah, out of her joint account.
Hey, how much you get charged for a bounce check? Like $20?
$35.
Really?
I get 39.
What?
Washington Mutual, $39.
What kind of a bank charges 39? Stupid jerks.
Washington Mutual.
And they take that right out of your savings account? They just take it right out? They don't
they
ask
take it
for
out of your checking account, yeah.
Checking? Wow.
If you have the money in your savings account to cover the bad check, then they only charge you 15. Mm-hmm. They're princes on that
one. I hate Washington Mutual. Those guys, they screwed me over bad. Here's a little story, a tale of woe that I want to tell you. I wrote a check for $300 once when I had like $50 in the bank to pay a bill, and Washington Mutual closed my account. Mother effers.
And you couldn't go back there? You couldn't show your
no,
face
I just had to go and pay. I had to pay the money that I owed them, so I was able to open up a bank account any place ever again. So I guess that would count as check fraud. But it wasn't done intentionally, though. I did it as an accident. I didn't realize that I didn't have the money.
It wasn't done intentionally. I was hungry.
What happened to the old days when people just put their money in their mattress? You know, underneath their bed, you know?
Tempur-Pedics happened. People want comfortable mattresses, so they're not going to put their money there anymore.
I'm saying, say you do have $360 billion. Are you trusting a bank or certain different banks with that $360
billion. If you have that amount of money,
we'll just say you're
and you are not going to put it... You're never going to get that money unless you're willing to put it to work to make more money.
Okay.
If you have money, you have to put it someplace so it makes more money. You have to invest it and risk it to get more money. That's. I mean, granted, at $360 billion, do you really need more?
Yeah, you're just living off the interest of that. In the banks.
And some. And, you know, you're living off the interest and throwing millions out the window for, you know, just in case it gets wet outside and you want to dry the street in front of your house.
Yeah.
You're not going to have that money unless you're the type that's going to look to make more money, I don't think. I can't imagine.
But I'm saying, say if you're a moderate millionaire, you have a couple of million in the bank. I wouldn't trust the bank for some reason with my money. I think it would be safer in my house for some reason. I don't know. That's just the way I think. I know it collects interest in the bank and everything like
it's
that.
It's safer, but it's gonna diminish. It's just gonna get smaller as you sit there. I mean, how far is $350 billion gonna go, bro? I mean, we gotta live.
I bet you I could spend that in a week.
I guarantee you could. I guarantee
really?
You could. What could you possibly buy?
I could buy you buy lots of stuff. I'll buy a stealth bomber.
You could buy the Yankees and the not Yankees. Put a dent in that money.
I'll buy Major League Baseball and make sure the Mets lose every game.
You know, I missed it earlier. I just want to point out that in the Pal Talk room, our buddy Germ Freak from the DJ News Style show chimed in when he saw Keith and was like, "Oh, no Mets game today."
Now they're in Arizona, so I can make the show.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I don't I think it was a great idea. I think the guy was intuitive and ingenious and a failure, actually, and he didn't do well. But congratulations to him on trying. I think it was a worthy effort.
It was a worthy effort.
Is there any chance he got the amount of zeros right when he wrote out in the number part?
There's no way he knew.
Well, he had to know because you have to write out 360 billion.
I was
as
trying
well.
To write quadrillion, but I put billion by accident.
Exactly.
I wanted a quintuple million.
Hey, and let's not talk bad about this guy, because maybe he was going to fix the debt with that money. Maybe he was going to do some good.
No, we know what he was going to do.
Well, the record company maybe.
Rough and Rugged Raw Records.
Full of Comp and Entertainment.
What was it called?
Full of Comp. His last name was Fuller.
You can't even come up with a witty name? Full of Comp.
No.
Stupid jerk. You know what? He deserves to be in trouble.
To give the guy, to give him the benefit of the doubt, he probably had some rhymes that he needed to get out there, and this was obviously the only way to do it.
Yo, I'm making money by stealing it from your bank account. Yo, now what? Yo.
What if he made the song that connected all of the countries together? What if he made the new We Are the
All
World?
All we are saying.
Exactly.
That's true, because there's been no problems in the world since We Are the World
came
out. Cash
this check for $360
billion.
Awesome. Good stuff. I'm proud of him. I think he did a good job, and I hope he tries to write checks for IOUs for fake cigarettes in prison. Good for him.
You know he's gonna have problems because somebody's gonna be like, I know you're a billionaire.
He's just a paper billionaire though. He's just a paper billionaire. It doesn't add up to anything in real life. Awesome. So Vanessa, what else is going on with you? Maybe I don't know any PS that you want to add on to the story. My new favorite part of the show.
All right, so my partner and I were going to do a bachelor party, and we go out with our driver, and it was way far out in the desert in California. It was a 2-hour drive to get there. So you're always a little bit worried about. Sometimes you show up and the guys don't even have money. You've driven all that way and you get there and you're like, hey, we're the girls. And they're like, oh, we got nothing.
Do you accept checks for $360
billion? Exactly. So so we go out, pull up, it's a nice house, and we go inside. And as you walk in, it's like, all right, hey, we're the girls, blah, blah. You just pass through really quick and you go to the room where you're supposed to be changing. So we get into this room. They show us into the room. And we passed through with a whole group of guys, and they all looked clean-cut enough and, pretty normal. We get into a room. There's no furniture in the room whatsoever. All there is a crucifix on the wall. No furniture. So we're looking at each other going, all right, what's going on? So the guy goes down. Our driver goes downstairs, and he does all the negotiating for the money, and we get changed. We're standing at the top of a staircase waiting to go down into, the main living room where all the guys are gathered. And he's pumping them up. He's going, okay, are you guys ready? And they're making noises, but the noises sound strange. It's kind of, I don't know, it doesn't sound normal. So she and I are looking at each other. We're standing there, and we're like, what is going on here? And I happen to see there's a door to a room that's closed right next to us in the hallway. I look at the door. There's hair, chest hair, curly hairs, all pressed up against the door as if someone had been naked and, sweaty and leaning against it trying to get in. So I look at her and I'm like, the devil walks in this house. This is clearly a problem. So the crucifix and the hair and all right, now it's our time to go downstairs. We run downstairs, and woo, and who's the bachelor? There's not really a bachelor. It's just a group of guys. And they're all staring, really strangely staring. And I walked near one guy and he just handed me $100. He just held it up straight ahead, while staring at me with these big eyes. And I take it from him, and then it occurs to me, everyone in this room is retarded. And it was actually a party full of retards. And they had handlers, two guys, who decided, these are guys who are never going to see naked women, so we're going to get them a couple strippers to come over. They actually did an entire party... Spent an hour in a halfway house full of retards.
The mentally challenged, we like to call them, Vanessa. Please.
Yeah.
So, can I ask, or is there a bigger punchline?
I guess it's some of them were very scared of girls, you know, of the naked girls, but some of them had that thing, that retard strength thing, where they're really grabbing you and like you walk over to one and he just grabs you by the hips and like throws you down, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And then he's, you know, the two guys like going like, oh no, no, don't do that, and like everyone's got that big bizarre grin on their face.
Exactly.
And we took a bunch of money from them, and I kind of felt afterwards like I was going to hell for that one.
What's the can I ask if the
did you want to punch him in the face like I wanted to my own kid?
Can I ask if the caliber of the show was changed by what you were doing? Did you realize that all? I mean, you could really just, you know.
Oh yeah, you put way less effort in.
Yeah, exactly. You could wiggle a fanny in a pair of shorts at these guys, and I'm sure it would be just as entertaining.
But why'd you feel bad? Yeah. You were entertaining them nonetheless. They had a good time, didn't they?
Oh, rough.
Well, I felt bad when the guy handed me $100 straight off the bat. He was obviously given he had $100 and it was like, all right, this is the money you're going to give to the girls. And like, I took two steps in his direction. He just handed it to me. Like, he had no idea how, like he was supposed to actually, you know, get something out of that. Like, I was supposed to pay attention to him. Because I just took it and walked away then. I was like, thank you.
You're awful. You're awful. You're an awful, awful person. By the way, Raph in the chat room is pointing out, did you drool just to fit in during the show? Just inappropriate and awful. I love that this show started off with our sensitivity of talking about things that are wrong with the world and feeling bad for everyone in the world, and now we're making, you know, poking fun.
Did you, dude?
I was not a sensitive person at that time of my life.
Okay, yeah. Clearly, you've been sensitized since then. Yeah. So we were dancing for Tardos.
Did you let them get away with more because you knew they were not normal?
No, I was a little bit more scared. You want to keep a shorter rein on it?
No, that wasn't a normal situation. Not that they are not normal.
No. Yeah, I can't.
No, I didn't let them.
I don't know. I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, what about the room with nothing but a crucifix in it? Like, what are they doing with these guys? Like, is that where they have to go, like, when they're bad?
Oh, man. Please, don't make me sadder.
Wait, where?
Don't make me sadder to think that they're locking them in a Jesus room. Oh, man. This is where your guy with Asperger's goes when he's done with school. He goes to the Jesus room and then the strip castle.
There was one or two, like, handlers there that
Yeah, there that were dealt two, with you. Like, regular guys that had obviously booked the party.
But I think that's so nice for the regular guys to do. I mean, come on. These guys, mentally challenged guys, aren't going to get any play. They're never going to see real-life boobies. They probably want a little something.
I got news for you. When I was a cab driver, the cab company that I worked for had a contract with all these group homes on the island, on Staten Island where we live. So I would drive, you know, these CP riddled guys all over the place, guys and gals, whatever. And the big overriding theme for the majority of the guys that are in their 40s that are, you know, obviously all jerked up and have had problems is they're not getting any action and they want some in the worst way. So if there's like a 600-pound, like, you know, nurse's aide coming with them who looks like she hasn't seen the good side of hotness since, I don't know, the 30s, you know, they're like trying to bust moves on us. So I think like helping, you know, letting these guys see, you know, especially, you know, high grade, high quality tail
like Vanessa.
Exactly. Why, you know, I think that's a nice thing. I think it's a nice thing that they did. Absolutely. I think the fact that
what should Vanessa have done it for free?
The monster that Vanessa is, that she takes $100 from these poor creeps and walks away.
It's her job. She would have taken $100 from any other guy.
I was naked.
And she was naked. She was doing a thing. It wasn't like she just had jeans.
She even just said that she didn't work that hard.
Okay, maybe the toys didn't come out, but I'm sure she gave a good show.
I'm going to bet nay. I'm going to bet nay. That's why it was the first question I asked. And she's like, yeah, you just didn't work hard that day. It was basically a day off. They knew that they were able to walk around and like wave a couple of times. Say, hey, look at me. I'm here. And then walk into the other side of the room. hey, does anybody else have any more money that has more than a couple zeros on it? Because that money's no good. Give that to me. I'm going to burn it and give you singles instead.
Ask this question, Vanessa. Was that the one of the weirdest experiences that you've ever had as a stripper at a bachelor party?
That one was weird. There was one with some midgets that was also a little strange.
Oh my God!
Teaser.
How did you?
Survive? No. Teaser. Okay, okay. Teaser. Come on. We need a new PS every week. there's a finite number of tales that she has to tell.
I won't get any of the story out of her, but let me just ask you this, Vanessa.
White is Brett in the chat room. Did you guys play the Sesame Street theme song instead of Welcome to the Jungle when you walked out?
We might have if we'd known ahead of time that everyone was challenged.
Oh, man. That's great. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Keith. That just floored me that long.
Was that pre-phobia or the cause of a phobia?
Wait, Vanessa?
No, I was firmly in the grips of my midget phobia when that happened.
Whoa.
I almost had to quit the job forever.
Oh, that's a great teaser. Great teaser.
Man, but how could you even go through with it? Teaser.
Like the Mother Teresa of stripping. She's the Mother Teresa of stripping. She gives it to the... It's like an equal opportunity stripper. She goes everywhere.
Christopher Hitchens wrote a book saying that Mother Teresa was a horror. I think everyone should check it out.
Oh, thanks, Brian. Thanks for chiming in.
Well, Vanessa, thank you so much.
Yeah, I gotta. I feel awful. I feel awful about this whole thing. I feel less and less like I want to be a person the more and more I think about these things. Oh, man, so sad.
You want me to send some strippers over there?
Oh my God, that would be awesome. The only thing I could think of more inappropriate than sending strippers to a group home would be sending it to my house for my 4-year-old's birthday party.
Jump out of the cake.
That's called a mix-up. What can you do?
Unbelievable. Vanessa.
I'll send a stripper and a clown.
Perfect. No, just send one person. Send a stripper and clown makeup. That would be perfect for me.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Awesome. Stripper and clown makeup that kills birds. That's actually what I want. Awesome. Vanessa, as always, a fantastic report. NPS. If people want to check out all your fine wares during the week when they're not listening to Best in Show, how do they do that?
They can check out my... 15-year-old naked pictures. No, wait, I'm not 15 years old. Correction. They're just 15-year-old. Anyway, Heroes Talk Forum. I'll be there.
Nice. Oh, the Heroes Talk Forum, that's it? No more VanessaCheatwood.blogspot.com?
We got it.
Sure. I'm not posting any nudity there, though.
Wait, there's nudity in our forum?
Yeah, my picture. I don't remember.
Oh, wait, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, my God. I have to talk about that. What is...
Awesome. Vanessa, thank you so much, buddy.
You're welcome. Bye.
Awesome. I got to be honest. I feel a little bad right now. I feel really, really awful right now.
I think that was an uplifting story that she just told.
The concept of the story was uplifting.
She made people's lives.
I don't disagree with that. It's her description of it that really just makes me feel really bad. It just makes me feel awful.
I want to know, why does Keith have a naked picture up on our website?
What's that?
Why does Keith have a half new picture on our website?
What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about.
On the Heroes Talk forum thing.
Sit back, buddy. Sit back and relax, because now that you just pointed it out and I'm thinking about it, pictures of you and your tighty whities will be up there in a week.
I'm half exposed in them.
No, not that one. That one. You did it on the webcam in this room, so I'm sure you have no problem with that. I have pictures of you in your underwear. Yeah, there's been a new trend on over at the Heroes Talk forum, heroestalk.com/forum. Or just go to heroestalk.com and click on forum. Where members of Best in Show are showing their wares, their states of various states of undress. It was started by Vanessa, followed up brutally by Keith,
Well, you know what it was?
And you're in now.
Even though Vanessa did put the pictures up herself, I didn't feel like she should have to be, like, you know, thrown into a room full of wolves, as it were. So I said, you know what? Hey, I got your back. Here I am, too.
Who took that picture?
The picture of me?
Yeah, your girl?
Mick Rock. Do you ever hear of him? Famous photographer.
God help him.
Yeah, my wife took that picture.
And why? Why was it taken? Any reason?
She likes to look at it sometimes on the phone and go, oh.
Really?
No, I was looking at Vanessa's pictures and I ran in the bathroom and said, here, take a picture of me quick.
Chris, don't put my picture up there. My picture's up there already?
It's not there yet. It's
don't
not there
put it
yet.
Up.
I guarantee you that within seconds of this show being over, I am posting it up there. And just like White as Brent saying in the right room, considering that you don't even listen to past shows or actually go to our website or anything, you won't even know that it's there. So don't even worry about it. Just forget this conversation ever happened. Well, I see that he's actually navigating to it now just to make sure that he's not there.
How are you going to get Brian in his underwear? Brian's never in his underwear.
No, if I have Brian in a three-piece suit, that means he's almost naked. That's as close as he gets to naked, so that's fine. Hey, I'm still waiting. There were idle threats of Vanessa saying she's going to find old nudes of me.
And put them up on the board?
Yeah, I got no problem with it. I just don't
think
they
exist.
Why
don't you just take your own? Put
them up. I would have to scan them and stuff. That's the only reason why I don't feel like being bothered.
You don't have a digital camera?
Just put them
yeah,
up.
But oh no, take new nude pictures? Yeah. No, that's disgusting.
Oh, you guys want to be in your prime.
Yeah, oh no, yeah, I want like a 22-year-old Chris, like 210 pounds, twisted seal and sex appeal. That's what I'm looking to be up there.
So you want someone that weighs more than me now.
Yeah, but I'm also like 2 inches taller than you. It's 2 inches make a difference.
So it gives you a Brad Pitt physique.
Yeah, I'm foot heavy in the older days.
Your feet weighed 60 pounds each.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I got some good video footage of me in my underwear, but I don't have a real, like, junky Chris, like 100 and maybe 80 pounds. Nice. I got some of that.
You got some of those pictures?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have pictures. I got video of it.
Video of it.
I got news for you. I found a lot of great video this week. So last night, how do I intro this?
We were having
no, that's the other one. So there's pictures of as I'm reading the chat room. My wife and I were talking about our daughter and talking about wanting to see videos of her when she was younger. So I started busting out old video, camera tapes last night, trying to find the stuff of my kid when she was like a year old and whatnot. And I found a lot of good stuff that I'm going to be posting on YouTube relatively soon and linking to Best in Show. Maybe BIS God will help us out and throw them on his account, which, by the way, is burning up the airwaves over at YouTube.com. He's the number 5 most subscribed to director this month with nothing but Best in Show videos.
Look at that.
It's like an archive of just our show. It's fantastic stuff. These are amazing jobs. Thank you to him. But maybe I'll throw some stuff up there. I have a video of Keith from about a year ago trying to make a tie. And Keith, a guy who has regularly come to the show dressed fairly fashionably, unable to make a tie. It's one of the funniest things in the world as you watch him basically just twisting the tie into a little curl around his neck.
Is he mouthing the words, round the tree, through the hole?
No, he didn't even say that. It was like him standing there just really confused. And I'm telling you, it's basically like he just took the tie and just started twisting it and thought eventually it would just turn magically into a tie.
For some reason, the way this all started is one morning I went to put on a tie to come here and I'm standing in the mirror staring at myself and I said, you know what? I forgot how to tie a tie.
It's not supposed to be tied around my face.
I just completely forgot how to tie a tie and it lasted for a while. Lasted for a few days, and then I don't know where I was going that I was wearing one, but anyway.
You're going to that group home for the Vanessa's bachelor party.
No, they know how to tie ties, I think. Yeah, I don't know why I forgot what happened, but that's the video.
It was
it
getting around his like meat sausage hands and everything. It was just wrapped around.
If I'm telling you, like I said, I can't give it, I can't say enough. That it's literally what he starts doing is he just starts twisting. The two,
like it's a piece of bread, like it's the bread.
Exactly. Like he was trying to make some sort of. Yeah, he was using a twist tie and sealing his thing of bread. Exactly.
Did he get frustrated and just throw the tie down after a while?
No, because the second try, then he starts twisting it in the opposite direction and says, "Oh my God, I got it. I got it. I got it." And then within 3 seconds, after twisting it three times, he ties it into a knot and he actually turns it into a tie.
Oh, really?
That's like, have you ever seen the video that was on YouTube of like people folding shirts by like yanking them in weird ways? I'll throw that video up on the site this week too. There's like this video of people folding shirts the way that they do it at like retail stores that it just looks kind of cool and it doesn't involve any work. Like you move three things and a shirt is folded.
Wow.
It's the weirdest thing in the world. So it's like that because it looked like he was twisting this little weird braid on these two ropes around his neck, and the next thing you know, he's yelling, "I got it, I got it," and it turned into a tie.
I have to see that.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know what all of a sudden made me figure it out. It's just, but that was weird to me because you just lose things.
Yeah, you White Esprit in the chat room talking about damn those Windsor knives. Now this wasn't a double Windsor. This is just like the simple. This is like the 8-year-old kid just learned how to make a tie. Yeah. Tie. It wasn't a double Windsor by any means.
When I learn something, I don't usually try to progress. My wife makes fun of me for the way I tie my shoes. Because like I tie my shoes. And
please
I
don't tell me you take two loops and tie them in a knot the same way as the original
rabbit ears.
Knot.
The rabbit ears, like
I make like one like I tie I loop one pull it. I'll just
you know what video, YouTube video. Video the YouTube video. It's Keith getting dressed today. We'll have Keith tie his shoes and Keith putting making a tie.
Because they come undone all the time, and she always says to me, "Well, why don't you just learn how to tie shoes?" And I say, "Because I learned things one way, and that was it. So this was the easy way for me to be taught when I was like 4 or 5 or whatever to tie my shoes." And
he puts slip-ons on and then wraps duct tape around the shoes and his ankles so they don't fall off.
Well, that is so interesting to me. I could watch that all day. I could watch Keith tie his shoe and tie a tie.
I'm telling you, watching him tie a tie is hilarious. It's brilliant. By the way, and on top of it, on a side note, for those of you that have any interest also on this tape, I found it looks like probably about a 4-song live show done in my house of our buddy Joey Sims. Because I was designing Sims's website, and then we just abandoned the idea, and we were putting up a live concert for the website that we were putting together for him, so you could see. And it, like I said, it was special to it, and like him talking to the to the website viewers. And I found this videotape. I didn't even remember it existed. So on the
at the hellhole it was?
No. This is like maybe a year before he passed away. Oh, like really? This is when I was doing his website for him to promote his career. And it's really fantastic. It's pretty cool to see it. And like I said, it was just the weirdest thing in the world to hit play as I'm looking for these videos of my kid, like I'm seeing this video of that I forgot existed of a friend that's passed away. It's just outrageous.
You should get that up.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that up. But that'll be on my personal account. That's not necessarily Best in Show related, but it's pretty cool stuff. I gotta send it to his mom and stuff like that. I'm pretty amped on it.
Can we have Keith like button up button flies too or something like that?
Wearing them right now, and I mean it.
If you can't figure out how to button
don't
buttons,
don't get me wrong, they open right now, but that's more of a weight issue.
You can have them use Velcro shoes too, maybe.
Yeah, that's it was pointed out in the chat room that Velcro shoes are the way to go for him. Clip on ties and Velcro shoes.
I also actually don't tie them. Step into them at this point. Usually in there a little loose.
Start wearing a muumuu. Start wearing a muumuu. It's so much easier.
I could see you in a nice pink floral print muumuu, walking down the street on a nice spring day.
Oh, a breeze.
Oh, breeze.
Ooh.
Ooh. Keith. Keith walking down the street in a nice muumuu, a nice spring day, walking down Highland Boulevard. Oh, it's Keith.
Wait, that was, oh my God almighty. I'm busy looking at Keith getting mad at him for making sounds go on the air and not realizing that was you. Delicious.
But that's what I mean about a uniform through the day. I mean, a muumuu would be great if we can all wear muumuus. That would be a great
uniform. When we did our Halloween show last year and I dressed as a priest, I was thinking that priest dress every week would be the perfect thing for me to wear to the show. It'd be so comfortable, relaxed.
Totally.
It's rayon, so it's high fashion. I'd be with the whole thing.
Yeah, that's why I like to usually bring sweatpants here or something. I brought shorts today. I just never put them on, but I like being comfortable. I still want to find a pair of sweatpants that I can go anywhere in. I know work I can't, but anywhere else I want to find.
Just karate pants are what you need. You don't need sweatpants. You need karate pants.
What are those?
They're like loose fitting, like a gi, essentially. The undergarment for a gi. Huh. It's kind of loose fitting and comfortable. It's meant for you to be able to do splits and stuff in, because I know Keith is chronically known to do splits on the street wherever he goes.
Uh-huh. I can't picture that, though. Is that like skids?
It's just about as comfortable as skids.
Those are really comfortable.
Oh, man.
Do they have elastic? I hope they have elastic around them.
No, you tie it up with your black belt.
I know a guy named Guy. Well, hello.
That was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Couple minutes. I'm going to try and step out of it and make myself feel better by saying, hey, you're listening to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. That's here the way that your sense... Not here, the place. HEARUSTALK. Our Hear Us Talk station mates, if you could even call Hear Us Talk a station, the DJ New Style show tonight, 10 p.m. on XM channel 202, as the Night of 100 Podcast 2 starts. Our buddies, Germ and New Style, will be making their XM. I don't want to say their debut, because they were actually on the Ron and Fez show a few weeks back, but they will be their program will be making their XM debut tonight. So if you guys are not listening, you're worthless jerks, and you should probably never listen to our show again, because they're our friends, and you should be checking out one of the greatest shows. 10 p.m.
10 p.m.
Eastern on 202 The Virus, or 879 on DirecTV if you go through XM that way. Nice. As Rob Giggs is pointing out in the chat room, if you go to the DJ New Style Pal Talk room, it will also be streamed there as well. I'm sure it's going to be in the Opie fan room, the Ron and Fez room, all the great Pal Talk spots. Everyone's got to make a point to check it out, because, like I said, this is, I don't want to get into a thing of just like, you know, other than us, the greatest thing out there, or they're better than us, or this, that, the other. They're a fantastic, fantastic show, and they're buddies of ours, and they're definitely one of the greatest things that you could listen to. I listen to three things on the radio right now. I listen to Ron and Fez, I listen to a DJ New Style show, and I listen back to our show to hear us. That's literally all I listen to. These are the only things that are entertaining to me, and mine is more of, our show is more of like a critical thing. The only things worth listening to out there that I can tell are DJ New Style and Ron and Fez.
Who else is in the night with them? Do you know? Is there other
If you go to Ron and Fez, the Bows and Hoes show is actually going to be on. I'm trying to think what else. Crazed is going to have a show.
I'm sorry, what time is the DJ New Style?
That will be 10 p.m. 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Awesome. That's great.
Excellent. And one of the shows got replaced, I believe, right? I'm not sure who they were.
I've got to be honest, I'm like 2 weeks behind on my Ron and Fez, so I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened with it. I didn't even... Oh, Crazed. I'm being told that Crazed replaced... Mike the Teacher is not doing a show, and Crazed is doing it. That's disappointing. Mm-hmm. So I would like... Well, not that I don't want to hear Crazed. I'd love to hear Mike the Teacher show. Mike the Teacher is exciting. I've actually been spending a lot of time on TED.com. You guys ever go to TED.com?
No, what's that?
Who's he?
It's basically a bunch of astronomers and cosmonauts.
Cosmeticians.
Perfect.
The guys who worry about the cosmos, not the guys who worry about putting makeup on.
Oh, Carl Sagan.
Right. A bunch of Carl Sagans talking about the universe and talking about smashing protons together and electrons and it's splitting atoms and whatnot. This is what I've been spending my personal time on that's not spent on Facebook is me on TED.com watching stuff that I couldn't possibly understand, but watching it 3 and 4 times hoping to start to understand it. This is what I do.
You had the most psychotic look in your eyes while you were talking.
What did you learn?
Nothing.
I'm looking on here. I can't even understand one thing.
Oh, it's so far beyond your capacity for understanding at this point. It's the way that my religion teacher described God. Like, we have a capacity for understanding that's one little space, and then a space that's much larger than it is God. These guys, the fact that these guys have a grasp on splitting atoms and the grasp of what the actual building blocks for everything that we are that creates the universe and multiverse and galaxies and everything that's out there.
Isn't that so crazy?
It's insane. It's insane to watch this as they break everything that is in existence, including every element that is including everything, breaks down to 12 basic components. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
And with all this technology, I mean, to have people still believe in a higher power, it's just unreal. that the scientists, you know, basically...
I've got to be honest. If you go with what it would be involved with creating, like, our world alone, it's befuddling. It's mind-boggling, you know, to think about it. So to think that maybe a higher power somehow had something to do with it, it's not totally unrealistic to me. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it happened. I think it's something that just happened. But it's not. It doesn't reaffirm or disprove any higher being stuff. To me,
I think a lot of people have the opposite opinion. I think the more complicated it is, but the more, you know, it all seems to make sense. A lot of people think maybe there is more, and I'm not talking about, you know, a specific Bible or something. I'm just talking about a general higher power kind of thing. I think a lot of people think it lends itself more to the fact that that's a better possibility.
Do you understand that there's this thing right now that they're trying to do? I'm trying to think what the guy's name was, but they're trying to create
Carl Sagan.
Thank you. They're trying to basically recreate the Big Bang. They've made this huge thing that's like 12 kilometers round that they're basically running super tiny materials into each other to try and recreate the Big Bang and try and recreate what would have happened a billionth of a second after the Big Bang happened.
I don't want them to do that. If they recreate the Big Bang, that means like a million years from now we're gonna have cavemen running around everywhere.
That's exactly... Well, they wouldn't be here. It wouldn't be here. It could be on a different plane of existence for all we know.
What if I live there at the time?
I don't think that a billion years from now that you'll be living there because I rented you an apartment.
What do you mean there would be cavemen a million years from now? If they recreated the Big Bang, what are you saying?
Yeah, everything's going to happen the way you did.
If it continue, well, the thing is, it's in a controlled environment. It's inside this, you know, this. I'm telling you, you got to see this stuff. It's just totally mind-boggling. And I mean, literally, the only words I could put are mind-boggling because I do not even understand half of what it is, but it's so compelling. And I said, I recommend everybody go to TED.com. As soon as you're done tonight listening to the Night of 100 podcast too and listening to our buddy DJ Newstyle, to be quite honest, you should listen to all the shows, but most importantly, listen to our buddy DJ Newstyle. As soon as you're done with that, just head over to TED.com, or maybe even as a precursor. Right now, maybe you should go over there. Although I think that Lynn AD is doing a Sunday afternoon podcast as well over on XM. You should check that out.
You should have been a scientist, Chris.
Well, I've got to be honest. I've had three aspirations in my life. Scientist was one of them.
Really?
Absolutely.
What kind of scientist?
One that studies science.
Okay, cool.
I was also I also wanted to be a quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, but I didn't want to be a quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. I wanted to be Dan Marino. And my other aspiration in the world is I wanted to be a spaceship. And those are the three things that I always wanted to be. And I've got to be honest, I think I've accomplished two of the three.
Wow.
That's true.
Good for you. I don't know what any of this means.
That's true. Well, the first one was scientist, right?
Yes. I'm working on that.
You've done some science. You're not Dan Marino.
Honestly, I've mixed more chemicals than any person should.
And you are like getting to look like a spaceship a little bit. So.
Getting to. You wait.
Speaking of that scientist, if I sign into my Gmail account, will you remember your password?
Why do you need that?
I need my Gmail account because everything I there's things I need on there. So,
I don't care.
Okay, as you were.
So where?
What?
No, nothing.
Great.
Forget it.
Radio. Best in show radio.
Bestinshowradio.com here on Heroes Talk, the home of the DJ New Style Show.
Previously on Best in Show. So, forget it. Let's just sit quietly.
So did you guys know yesterday was the Kentucky Derby?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a horse.
I knew that.
A bunch of horses raced.
Which one was the winner? Some crazy named horse?
Big Brown. Big Brown won it, who would have been the horse I would have bet on had I had to bet on anything. But I guess the story really is Eight Bells. Eight Bells, the horse that was not expected to do anything, was the story of the day. As Eight Bells came in a close second, and by a close second I mean like 4.5 lengths behind Big Brown. finished second in the race, but wasn't expected to do anything, and actually had an amazing showing.
Was it a 20-1 shot or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know what the odds are in front of me. I don't have them in front of me, but this the filly, which I think means something to horse people. I don't know what a filly is, but
I think it's in it a female,
a lady.
Yeah,
it's chick, a lady horse,
chick horse.
Yeah, a broad horse was actually finished second.
Are you into that? Are you into the...
No, but I'm more into the fact that that Eight Bells also broke her two front ankles.
Broke.
broke them up and had to be euthanized on the track at the Kentucky Derby.
No, really?
Yep.
But the horse came in second and still broke both of its ankles?
Yeah, I don't know if it broke its ankles at the end or if it just ran with these broken ankles, which is crazy, which is...
Imagine if it did the whole race and then it was going over to, like... eat some hay and then broke its ankles.
Well,
like
that's apparently what happened is as they got through the finish line, everyone started coming down everyone's all excited and trotting around, whatever, and the horse collapsed.
Oh, my God. Yes. They euthanized it right there on the spot.
Right there on the track. Came over and, because they said there's no way they would have been able to stabilize it and take it off the track, so they just gave it a lethal injection right at the track.
What a horrible show.
Wow, you finished second. Congratulations. Die.
Yeah, you know what? And honestly, after all the big deal about Barbaro, like everyone all of a sudden was so sympathetic, I couldn't even find the story anywhere about the horse. Like right after the Kentucky Derby, the only thing I could find all over the internet was, you know, that
how silly is it that Big Brown one? It's got a name, Big Brown. So silly.
What's the deal with that horse?
I mean, why do they call it Big Brown? Because it's big and brown.
Was it Big Brown something else, or was it just Big Brown?
Just Big Brown. Just Big Brown would have been my wrestler name. Just I'm going to change my character on Facebook Wrestler. I'm Just Big Brown.
Now from Camden, New Jersey, Just Big Brown.
Awesome. Chaz points out, good thing that I didn't bet on it, because Chaz and I have had some not-so-positive experiences betting the ponies.
But you losing money?
I mean, just once. It was once I gave him a really big tip. On this horse that was going to win, it finished like eighth out of a field
enough,
of seven.
I was listening to the show of you discussing that. It was from July of last year, I believe. We were discussing how you called me and leaving me a message saying, you're going to be sorry you didn't call me back.
Ah, dude, and I'm just pointing out, Rob Cakes points it out. Like maybe a month or so ago, we went to the Meadowlands racetrack on a Saturday night. And as soon as we walked in, I found out that there was a horse in the first race named Muhammad Ali, much like the poster that we actually have in this room right here, Muhammad Ali. I was like, oh man, I got to put some money down on Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali crushed that night and took first. So if I have a feeling but don't bet on it, the horse will do fantastic, like Big Brown would have. Mm-hmm. Like it did. Just like Muhammad Ali. If I bet on it, then I wish I could remember the name of the bad horse. Crummy. I think it was Crummy Racer. Slowy Slower Tid. What's actually the name of the horse?
Did you bet on almost every game last year of the Miami Dolphins then?
I don't bet. Wait. That was a thinly veiled attack.
Well, it wasn't a cause of the show that you, because it sounded like Best in Show, that horse. It was actually Show at Best, the name of the horse that Chris bet that time.
Show at Best.
There's a couple things in the world that are, to me, sacred ground not to be tread upon. My daughter, vegetarian chick patties by Morningstar Farms, and the Miami Dolphins are the three things not to be assaulted, not to be attacked.
They had a good pick, though, right? Who'd they get first draft?
They got an offensive lineman who's going to be a member of the team for the next 10 years, and he's going to be outrageous.
Is he really?
Yes.
Is this quarterback going to be good? Why did they get a new quarterback?
Because they got an offensive line. They actually did get a quarterback in the second or third round. They actually did get they did pick a quarterback as well.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disagree.
Brian?
Offense.
Brian?
Brian? Sports.
Thanks. Okay. Awesome.
I thought he was behind me. Sorry.
I was being asked if my wife is not off limits. No, I don't think my wife is off limits. She won't be on the Pal Talk cam showing her boobs anytime soon. But I mean, I'll talk. She's an adult.
So are the dolphins.
No, they're not.
They're little kids.
No, there was a I was going to say that Vanessa threw a party for them. They don't have the intelligence of adults.
Chris, you stink. You stink, dude. Stop doing that.
I'm winding. I've been winding a few times on the show today.
I can't believe it. God bless my allergies.
Really?
Taking away my
you don't smell that?
Smell anything.
Yeah, oh. they're pretty beefy and thick today.
I had to describe it that way, too, to make it worse. Worse.
You haven't eaten beef in a while. They're not beefy.
So, did you guys ever use Real Player?
On my computer?
No. Yeah.
What?
When you play Real Player, it reads the MP3 file, the encoding, and then they have some built-in facts for each album, well, most albums anyway. And I don't have...
I'm breathing to myself as I'm thinking, oh, the game show that Keith talked to me about 100 years ago.
No, it's not a game show.
Damn it!
Yeah, no, we did a game show last week. It's just a teaser, actually, for a future one. But when I was making the... when I was going through the Billy Joel thing last night to make the previously for your favorite artist, Billy Joel, there was two things that kept playing over and over on the Real Player while I was recording the song. And these are the two facts that Real Player kept posting up there. Number one is... William Joel is a definitive singer-songwriter with elder statement status thanks to years of top 10 hits.
Why does a show constantly have to be riddled with garbage?
Who's William Joel?
I don't have any garbage facts yet. William Joel is a definitive... And the best one is...
We need who's William Joel.
It goes by William now?
William James Joel.
No, he's never gone by that. But for some reason, Real Player felt the need to call him that. And the next one says... Don't let Joel into the driver's seat. He crashed cars 3 years in a row. Once into a tree and another time into a house.
Oh, that's messed up. How can you not like him, Chris? Look at his record, his resume right there.
There's also one I was listening
to. I know, the thing is, I've listened to his record. I've listened to it, and it's awful.
I was listening to David Bowie on Real Player, and I noticed on the bottom, at first glance, you might think he's from Mars.
I agree.
But you know what? Maybe next week we'll do the Real Player game show, and we'll have that for you next week.
Could we promise that next week maybe there'll be no Billy Joel references on the show? Just once.
You know what? That's up to the Real Player. I'm going to set it to random for the questions. And I'm only going to load Billy Joel albums and another song.
What's your hatred for him, though? How, why does it go so deep? You just don't like his artistic...
He just makes me madder than anything else in the entire world. Listening to him makes me angry and makes me want to punch myself in the face, and I hate everything about him and his face, and he smells.
Like angrier than like someone like Celine Dion?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Fred, I got to be honest. If you one day ever listen to the shows that you're not here for, you'll love to know exactly what goes on over here.
I want to know who you hate more than Billy Joel.
Billy Joel, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
John Fogerty, you don't like John
Fogerty? Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Shut up. And who else? What's the other one I hate? And Meatloaf.
Meatloaf?
Yeah.
See, I would hate Meatloaf more than Billy Joel.
That's what I said.
That's
Thank
what
you.
Everyone says, because you're just dummies.
You hate Billy Joel more than
he hates
yeah,
the Eagles.
Whatever. Yeah, what? Oh, the Eagles.
That's what started it.
I don't know if the worst song ever... is Piano Man or Hotel California, but it's one of the two.
Really?
Even though Creedence is the worst band, I have my headphones off, so you can play whatever the hell you want. I won't hear it, because I'm done with you guys today. Pieces of garbage. Brian, where are you? It would have been on a loop for 3 hours already if you were here. So one thing I could say, I know Brian hates Billy Joel, so it would at least just be the Eagles.
Yeah, but him. Brian was the one playing Pressure over and over last week. I like that song.
Yeah, me too. So does everyone that hates music.
Who do you hate, Keith? I mean, like, hatred, like, as Chris goes so far as to
you know
hate Billy
funny?
Joel.
I was thinking this week that song, I don't know who sings it, I can't remember, but that song, Send in the Clowns, might be the worst song ever.
Send in the Clowns?
No way, Piano Man's worse.
You think?
Definitely.
Maybe I could find Send in the Clowns and we could have
Send
a little...
Send in the Clowns.
Come on, that song, who do you know who sings that?
I heard Liza Minnelli's version of it.
I do like when they do it on The Simpsons.
You Liza Minnelli does one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know Liza Minnelli does a version of it. Yeah, I would listen to that. I'd listen to that all day, every day.
Judy Collins. Here we go.
Oh, I'm going to put my headphones back on.
Play Piano Man.
It's not on.
It was a very good year.
Should I scan up into it a little bit? Oh, it's set to anime, this video. Want to share?
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground.
I don't even want to do commentary. Maybe we take a musical break and just really enjoy this.
Where are the clowns?
I wish they were naked and had boobs.
You gotta admit, it's brilliant on The Simpsons. Isn't when Sideshow Mel comes in.
They're already here.
Don't you approve?
Okay. It's not a good
one
song.
One who keeps Wait. Tearing around. One who can't move.
I can't believe Nico sang this.
Where are the clowns?
Yeah. I don't, took him wrong. I don't like this song. I wouldn't put it on my top 10 list by any stretch. But yeah, wow, this should be way lower. But Billy Joel is definitely much worse than this. See, the thing is, the guise of this being something other than it is does not exist. This is like a depressing kind of like song.
So you say stuff like he brought up Celine Dion. You just automatically wipe that out anyway, so
she's,
it's not
she's
even...
She's crap. She's crap. Don't get me wrong. She's like... I could probably come up with like 150 artists worse than her, though. I'm sure I could.
Worse than Celine?
Sure.
Not Billy Joel.
I can come up with one worse than Billy Joel. Creedence. Sorry, two. Creedence and then John Fogerty's solo.
What about that new Scarlett Johansson song?
Put me in, coach.
I'm ready. Scarlett Johansson came out with a song, and it's probably the worst song I've ever heard.
Do you have it?
No, I don't.
I don't want to hear it.
But that's silliness, though. I mean, actresses doing it. Santa the Claus.
Well, Smith did it.
What do you mean?
He was an actor, you know, he made songs.
No, he was a songstress that made acting. There's a little bit of a difference.
He made dresses?
Yes.
Oh, did he first... do the singing thing?
Tell me you're joking.
No, I thought it was like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and then...
Dude,
did the...
stop being crazy. Stop being crazy. Go get yourself He's the DJ on The Rapper.
What is that?
With such hit singles as Nightmare on My Street and Parents Just Don't Understand. Come on, bro.
There has to be somebody that was an actor first and then came up with a song that was good.
J-Lo?
What song was good?
Robert Downey Jr. I wish I still had him covering the Yes song.
Oh, what about
Eddie Murphy? Party All the Time.
My girl. That's a good song, not for nothing. I dig it.
Is this Scarlett Johansson? This is it?
I believe so. Yep. Is it called Falling Down?
Yes.
She's showing her boobs in the video.
Is she really?
Almost.
Yeah, she's kind of...
She's well titted.
Oh, thanks.
Nothing? That's it?
Let's try that again.
My Girl Likes to Party All the Time was good, though.
I'm going to move it up a little, though, because... No, this is Nico, sorry.
And I like it! Ooh. It's not a bad song. Her voice is pretty bad.
If it wasn't her, I wouldn't have even noticed that it was, you know...
Sounds like Sinead.
It's not what I expected.
Fred,
it to
can
be
I just
either.
Point out that today you've almost gotten things thrown at you 12 times.
She sounds like Sinead O'Connor.
Stop it.
You don't think she sounds like Sinead?
No, I don't. I think Sinead O'Connor is amazing, and I think this is not.
She does sound a little like Nico. I'm not even joking.
She definitely does sound like Nico. Dude, go listen to The Lion and the Cobra and tell me that Sinead's not amazing.
Now, come back when you're done.
Seriously. That should buy us some time. The cassette's in my closet. Go digging for it. Yeah, I'm a big fan of rock and or roll, and they're good.
I still go on record as saying Send in the Clowns is worse than Billy Joel.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that.
Hey, you guys are original. It's an original good idea. You guys are stupid, and maybe you should kill yourself. You know what? Go to an Italian restaurant and stab yourselves with an angry young man.
Have you looked at your MySpace page lately?
Oh, no. Tell me you post. I'll delete the comments. I'm going to delete the comments. I don't care. I'm going to.
All William Joel stuff?
William H. Joel, best known for his work on The Sopranos.
You go check it out.
Oh. Hideous. So you hear about the trash man who I alluded to earlier today? You guys know about the trash man?
That's what you called Fred when he started the disease and cleaned it up.
Exactly. The Trash Man is now a YouTube video that's on high circulation. It's a an African-American gentleman who has his face concealed as he reads off a list of young ladies and their ages that he's had sex with, and he's infected with the HIV virus.
No.
Yes. The Trash Man. Yeah, our life is worth living.
I wasn't on that list, was I?
No. He did say Keithica. Keithica Carney, age 42. Pretty and round. Soon you will die.
Does he say, like, soon you will die?
No, he says, he gets very descriptive. He's been banging a lot of, he basically, vast majority are black and Hispanic ladies between the ages of 16 and 22 in the New York area. And so he claims. He might be an urban legend.
Well, have you seen him?
What do you mean?
Wouldn't the urban legend be that he didn't really exist?
Oh, no, he exists, whether he's a dude just making a video and calling off random names, or whether this is something that actually happened or not.
Right, it could be fake names, it could be real names of people, it could be people he, you know, it could be true.
Right.
Those are your choices, in case you didn't know.
Thank you, hold on, wait, let me write those down. Can be real, cannot be real. Can be kind of real.
Basically, there's a 50-50 chance of this being true.
50-50. It's so like half and half? Kind of like the milk?
No, thanks.
No, thanks. I'm driving.
Well, yeah. Now, if it is true, can't they just find him by just getting an IP address and just finding the kid?
Where would the IP address be going to? You don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I hope it's not true, and if it is true, I hope he gets caught, but I don't know if he can be or not.
There's no disease to back it up, like there's no AIDS thing, but like I want to make a...
What the hell does that mean? There's no AIDS thing. That should be on the previous... Nah, there's no disease to back it up. There's no AIDS thing.
But I want to make a YouTube...
Followed by AIDS babies.
I want to make a YouTube video of all the girls that I've been with. Do you have like 15 seconds of video?
I was going to say, it's a really, really long video, right?
What do you want to do? Apologize again? In the wall?
Mom, I'm sorry. Dad, I'm sorry. Bro, I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's a horrible thing. How did you even find that? That trash man thing?
Oh, it's pretty. It's getting a lot of publicity.
Really, because it's a big thing now.
If it's real, it's pretty ill. It's pretty hardcore.
He's a mass murderer if it's real, basically. I mean, what you're doing is killing people. That is disgusting.
Oh. Well, he can always claim that he didn't know about it until he made the video.
He says on the video that he did it knowingly and intentionally. Whether that would be admissible in court, if and when it came up, I don't know. Whether half the people are real, I mean, I don't know.
You know what? What's the difference? See, that's a guy that should get the death penalty, because all they're going to do is send him to jail where he's just going to do it to like a million other people.
In jail.
But you think people won't know that he's the trash man when he gets in?
Yeah, I know. Is it going to matter? Because I know that you know, prison sex usually involves a lot of, you know,
consent.
Just say no and consent. And Hey, trash man, I don't know, buddy.
Dude,
I don't know if you're up.
If you're in the Heroes Talk chat room, our buddy White Esprint put the video up of the trash man. And our buddy Vito is saying, Fred, there's your next song parody, Scatman. Use the song Scatman. That's what you need.
I would never do that. Never.
Why are you taking a note then? What are you writing that down for? I don't understand what you're saying.
Beady bop bop, AIDS, beady bop bop. Okay.
Did you know that, speaking of sex?
I wasn't. I wasn't talking about sex. I was talking about sadness in America.
Oh, he gave blood transfusions to all the girls.
Yes. He actually spit on toilet seats. That's the way he passed it. Which is why every toilet seat I ever sit on, I hit with a Clorox wipe, other than in my own house. I hit with a Clorox wipe before I sit in it, because Clorox wipe kills AIDS.
Well, I got news for you. I spit on your toilet seat constantly.
Luckily, I don't go in my toilet here.
You don't go in it.
Joke's on you. I crap in the sink.
But what about sex, Keith?
Speaking of sex, did you know that sex toys are illegal in Alabama?
illegal. You can't sell them. You can't use them.
They're illegal to do anything.
Possession or to sell?
No, to exist.
To exist in Alabama.
Yeah, if somebody has them to sell or to use, either way, it's illegal. So really? Technically, yeah, if they get a tip and a judge signs a warrant, they can go into your house to search for your sex toys.
So no one's getting off in Alabama.
And so now, what everyone's reaction is that, you know, it's probably some crazy thing that, you know, is, you know, been since the 30s. 1998, this bill was born and signed into effect.
But it's like, it's the same, isn't like oral sex illegal too?
Well, you know what it is? In a lot of places, sodomy is illegal. Mm. And now it's like basically you can...
But delicious.
Now you can basically what? If it's consensual, it's not illegal?
No, but now as far as sodomy, like you can try to... Yeah, there was a case in Texas where there was two gay guys that were having sex. And the cops kicked in their door because they had initially thought they were drug dealers or something, but whatever the reason, they actually arrested them for that because they caught them in the act of a crime.
Okay, first things first. I don't want to interrupt you here, but why does Brent just point out that Clorox wipes don't work after 24 hours of the bottle being opened? Is there any truth to this?
Why would you leave it open? Are you supposed to close it? Even
that's what he's saying, like that the bleach qualities disappear.
I know they dry up, but...
Oh my God.
Dude, you gotta get
I have Asperger's all over me. Then that's what it is.
You have polio now from that toilet seat.
Oh my God, almighty! But I'm sorry. What were we just talking about before? I thought about Clorox wipes.
I'd talk a little more. I have the worst Charlie Watts ever in my leg from sitting.
What was he just talking?
He was
about
talking about two dudes in the act of making
sex
love.
Toys. Sex toys. Isn't the whole thing? Couldn't you say that the sex toy is not a sex toy? Can't they be multi-purpose items? Oh no, this is a back massager.
Yeah.
Oh, this is my douche.
Okay, here it is. Well,
oh, this is a frisbee.
You can sell if you sell a sex toy, you can get up.
This is a waffle iron.
you can get up to $10,000 in fines and a year in jail.
What?
And the ACLU filed a suit against it. A federal district court overturned the law. And then the Attorney General protested, and in February of 2005, the United States Supreme Court refused to hear an appeal on the vibrator ban, as they called it. But I think that goes back to like a state's rights thing, you know, as like Roe versus Wade.
Would it have to be wang-shaped for it to be considered a vibrator? Would it have to look like a wang? Like if it was like what they call a back massager at like Hammer and Schlemmer, or whatever, one of those high-end places like the Sharper. What's the place called? Hammer and Schlemmer? Because if any idea what I'm talking about, am I just totally insane?
No, I don't know what Hammer and Schlemmer.
There's a store called like Hammer and Schlemmer.
Is it in a 1940s newspaper room?
Hello, boys. No, it's kind of like the Sharper Image or Brookstones or something that's called like Hammer and Schlemmer.
You know what? I think I know what you're talking about.
Why do you make faces at me like that?
Sorry.
So do you think they sell those actual back massages in Alabama and they're being used for
exactly? Are you gonna tell me that they can't have dryers then, and girls can't sit on top of the dryer, exactly. You know, or the washing machine, whatever?
Mississippi and Virginia, they are also illegal, and courts have recently repealed laws in Louisiana, Kansas, Colorado, and Georgia.
Yeah, you can't have a ride-on lawnmower either, I guess, because it's too enjoyable. Yeah,
what about a hand too? You know?
No, you're not allowed to have. No, you can't have hands.
Hands anymore? Okay.
They cut your hands off. Yeah, we're great. Honestly, everything's great. America's great. The world is great. We're all fantastic. Because people want to fiddle their... Oh, man, I was just about to start cursing.
And that has to be made into a... You actually have to pay people to make that into a bill to actually say the kids.
I'm just a bill just so on Capitol Hill.
And in the other sex toy story of the day...
In the other sex was me.
KY has a new
could you be any more just like uninterested? Just like, and in another sex, KY did something. It was sexy and or wet. Thank you.
They have these new lubricants that ones the blue ones for the man and the purple ones for the woman, and their only explanation is that when they touch they ignite.
Wait, what? Say this again?
KY has two new lubricants called Yours and Mine. And it's designed specifically to increase intimacy and communication between couples. I guess it goes with headphones and a microphone also.
Hello.
The man the man uses a blue one that's called invigorating, and the woman uses a purple one that's called thrilling, and they ignite when you mix the two of them together.
So that's hot sex. People are going to have hot sex is what it is. Flaming. Awesome. On the hottest of all lines, joining us on Best in Show, who's this?
This is Vito.
Hi, Tino. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on?
I asked you in the chat room over here. I was talking to Call right now because you said, did I ever tell you my vibrator story in the chat room? Do tell.
Okay.
I'm assuming you weren't asking me to call you personally later to talk about it.
Oh, no. The story you were trying to refer to is Hammacher Schlemmacher.
What is it? Hammacher Schlemmacher. Okay, so I knew I wasn't insane. Yeah.
It's the same thing as like a sharper image or like a Bridgestone or something like that.
Bridgestone makes tires.
That marketing person
something
should be
like
shot.
That.
Brookstones. Yeah. Oh man, I gotta get a steel belted radio from Hammacher Schlemmacher.
Right, so anyway, I had gone to one of those stores. They had a cart in the mall at Staten Island Mall. They had like a cart where they had like Brookstone products and stuff. And they had something that they called a neck massager. Basically, a neck massager.
Okay.
And I bought it for my boss. Years later, I went to an adult toy store, and I saw that it was being marketed as a pocket rocket. And did I mention that my boss was a woman at the time?
I was going to say, your boss, he was a real lucky guy, I guess.
No, that would be a lady.
Congratulations.
I was thinking of her marital age.
Yeah, so in an unrelated story, you were fired minutes after giving the gift?
No, actually, I worked there 2 more years. I guess I must have done something right.
Or you got a bonus, one of the two.
Exactly.
Vito, did she ask you to get like a neck massager and you bought that, or did you just say, hey, my neck's always hurting, let me buy this?
It was totally a Christmas present. It was just something that I was like, oh, you know, it looks like a stress reliever. I had no idea, you know, like I was just, you know. Kind of naive.
Well, it is
a stress
relief.
Like, oh, okay.
Did the fact that the product was called the crowing cock, did that tip you in at all?
No, it wasn't called that at all.
There's this great new thing for my neck. It's called the Vag Destroyer.
I was just going to say it's the Labia Terminator. Fantastic. Well, what did you get in the Secret Santa that year? I got a coffee. They gave me a bag of coffee grounds.
And you know what? In the same store, I actually found these earplugs, but it doesn't make sense because they're like 5 inches long.
Awesome. Well, that's impressive stuff, man. I'm very proud that you inadvertently sexually harassed your boss. Something else to add to your resume. By the way, Keith is now bottomless. If you guys are not watching on the camera, you should be. Keith just, oh, yeah, well, the Pal Talk room, you can see it. But Keith just went to the corner and dropped trout. The vibrator story was too much for him. He soiled his trousers and he had to change.
That's saucy.
Yeah. More saucy than you'd ever want to know. Awesome, buddy. So, Vito, what else you got going on with you lately? There's a little rumor going around that you're, achieving comic book dreams and whatnot.
Sure. This week, actually, I have a copy, an issue of Savage Tales, where I write one of two parts of Red Sonja story.
Okay.
I thought there was going to be somebody making fun of that. That would have been kind of funny.
I do.
I thought one of you guys would be taking my live stream and work and actually taking a crap on it, but you're not. I'm confused.
Yeah, so the first part comes out this week, but on May 14th, I actually have my first and only to date issue of Superman coming out, which is Superman number 676.
Nice.
Congratulations, buddy. It's fantastic.
Thanks,
good for
guys.
You. That's, you know, is Superman as big to you as Batman?
Not to me, but he's just as big in the world, you know.
Like I said,
you can put a Superman logo on anything and sell it.
Yeah, the fact that you've now written a Batman and a Superman story, which one is actually higher on the on the personal and the professional scale?
On the professional scale, the Superman would be, because the Batman story wasn't in Batman or Detective Comics. The Superman, since it is in Superman proper, that's a higher esteem level. But for me, you know, I grew up liking Superman. I guess Batman, though, because it was based on the cartoon, and I really like the cartoon.
Well, good. I guess you have reached a new level of what's the word I'm thinking of?
Height.
A new height of success. Like I said, I would have thought the Batman thing was just as big, but no. But you're moving onward and upward. I'm pleased to congratulate you, my friend. I'm glad
the
that
other,
you're.
The other thing too is the Batman story was only 5 pages. This is an actual full comic.
And you wrote the whole thing?
Yep. 22 pages, all me.
Did you kill off Superman?
I wish.
Any BISR reference in there?
No.
I'm about 20 years too late for that.
No, he's saying to kill Superman, not for the BISR. No, of course he didn't do a Best in Show reference. Why would he do that? Fred, you couldn't make one in the Staten Island Advance. Why would he do it in Superman? Come on. Awesome. Well, congratulations, buddy. I'm pleased for your success, and I wish you nothing but fantasticness. And I'm happy that you're living the dream.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to work now.
Okay. God bless you.
In the comic store.
Wow, that was weird. That was weird and anticlimactic and odd.
Anyway, I'll call you guys next week and remind you. May 14th, Superman 676.
Yeah, we're not taking calls next week, but thanks. Thanks. Take care, buddy. VitoDelSante.com. Right. VitoDelSante.com.
Later, Vito.
Excellent. Good stuff. That's our buddy enjoying success. One of our two buddies, or three technically, that are enjoying success this week, if you guys have not remembered from a half hour ago when I said it. Tonight, XM 202, The Virus, DJ Newstyle, 10 p.m., our buddy. Listen, love it. Touch it and whatever else. So this morning I woke up for the show, our show, by the way, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, where you can get us on the hottest of all lines if you so choose, 877-744-6405, or you can get us on the instant messenger, Best in Show Keith. More importantly, just join us in the chat room, Pal Talk, Heroes Talk, all that crap. So I wake up this morning, I log onto the computer, and I send an instant message to Keith and say, hey Keith, I have no topics to talk about on this week's show. I don't know what I'm going to do. Please tell me you got a lot of stuff to bring to the show today. And it got me thinking about having topics for the show. And it's really like a weird thing. Thinking about being depressed would bring more out of me than if I wasn't. And this is a weird thing I thought of. Like when I was younger, when I was an aspiring musician, I would always want heartbreak in my life so I could write more heartbreaking music.
You think that's how good art is created through
the I think that struggle creates art for the most part. And as far as this show is concerned, I think the best thing about our show, I mean, we can go to FARC.com if we want to. We can go to Google News or whatever. And we can get up, a rattle off 100 stories. It was like, and then today, this man touched this, and it was funny. Isn't it funny?
Yeah. Oh, I got to interrupt you. I got to do my American Idol wrap-up for the week. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, off of MSN.com. Yeah, I mean, and we can do that week in and week out, and you guys could not listen, because it'll just be dull and boring, and the same thing that everyone else in the world does. I think the appeal of what we do is the fact that we try and pour our hearts out and... in Vanessa's case, pour our bosoms out there, you know. Sorry, as Keith is concerned too. We try and pour everything out there for you guys, and without having the struggle or the pain or the agony in the life, it's just like almost like it's a harder thing. Like this morning, I was thinking, like, wait, so what bad happened to me this week that could turn into something on the show? Because that's all this is. This is just an exercise of taking something stupid or bad and trying to turn it into something funny.
Why
does
it have to be bad? Why can't it be a positive thing? You don't think positive things are as interesting as the struggle?
Okay, ready, Fred? Go. What's the good thing that happened to you this week? Exactly.
Hey, guys. I got my. I returned my video rentals on time. I found gas in Jersey cheap this week.
Like, what are you going to talk about? What are you going to talk about? Unless there's some sort of saga.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's nothing to it. And like I said, and it goes back to, I remember loving when my heart was broken by girls, because I would always write really good songs, or what I thought were really good songs, when I was heartbroken by girls. I would think that most, I don't know if I can say most musicians, I'm arbitrarily just calling out numbers and generalizing, but I can't imagine that that people want or people create. I guess out of pure love, I suppose, that some sort of goodness could come out of it. I don't know.
Yeah, but there are examples that don't match it. Like Charles Manson, he's crazy, nuts. He didn't create good music. He just killed people. Do you know what I mean?
He did create music.
Yeah, but his music wasn't any good. Do you know what I mean? So just because you have the struggles.
I'm not suggesting that because there's something wrong, you'll do good.
Okay.
I'm saying that if you're a creative type, mm-hmm. and I'm assuming that we're making the broad stroke generalization and the jump that your creativity is something worthy of something, I would tend to think that creativity born of struggle or sadness is more... More better than stuff that's not.
You know what? You said love. You said true love. Who the hell would want to hear that? Say I wasn't married and I didn't have a girlfriend. Oh, I met this girl. Or you know what? I've been with this girl for a couple months. We're really in love. Like, who would want to hear that?
Nobody.
Exactly. So nobody. Even love, the true love thing.
Well, but the love songs, chicks dig them. Not even chicks. Like, dudes dig them too. But heartbreak songs, way better. Way better. You know, if you listen to, like, I'm trying to timeline it. There's some bands that I've liked that, like, were, like, young dudes that were in love and their first records were okay. And then the second record is after all the girls broke their hearts. And those records are so much better. So much better. Like, a broken, smashed up dude. I brought up Sinead, you know, the Line of the Cobra earlier. Like, a smashed up chick is so much better to listen to. And as far as this show is concerned, like, a dude that has the complication and intrigue and madness of his life. If I have a dull week at work, I'm coming to the table with nothing, and it sucks.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
So, it's such a weird double-edged thing of, like, I wish for bad. I wish for a certain level of bad in my life, so I have something to bring to the table.
Well, that's what I was going
to
say. Do you think musicians do the same thing? Do you think, like...
I think that when I played guitar, I reveled in the fact... And when I wrote songs, I reveled in the fact of when a girl broke my heart, because I would write heartbreaking sagas... Epics that no one has heard of, crap music.
But even when good things happen in your life, are you still looking for the bad in it so that you could?
Of course, as a musician, absolutely I did. Which, by the way, crap songs, sandwich.com, sangwich. Click on Running My Errands underneath Rock and listen to some of the crap songs that I personally have done in my life about heartbreak that I think somehow were so much more ingenious. By the way, when I was going through those video cassettes last night, I found 3 different Church of Man Love shows.
Oh, really?
Church of Man Love, with some dude that looked like me playing bass with a leather looking vest on, hamming it up for the camera so bad that as soon as my wife saw the video, she was like, "Wow, you're such a jerk. I would never want to do anything with you."
Didn't you have a big mustache at the time too?
No, I didn't. I remembered having a mustache in it, but you don't see it on the video, so okay, I don't think so. I really did.
Keith, are you the same? You think you write better or do more creative things when you're in a...
Well, you know what's funny?
A bad state.
By the way, Vito just pointed out in the chat room, and I don't want to derail your question. Can any of us write a happy song?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
I mean, not on the spot, but next week, if you want to say, you want to
What happy song have you written?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if any happy
songs. I would say that every song that I've ever written, ever heard that you've written has been based at least somewhat in sadness. Being dead serious.
No, I think I wrote a couple. Happy songs.
You've done covers of happy songs.
No, I think I wrote a couple.
Like
of happy
suicidal
songs.
Suicidal Thoughts by Biggie Smalls. Real uplifting.
But like, but what's?
I'm being serious.
I've wrote songs that aren't depressing. They might not be of happy topics. They might just
and
be of.
And that's what we're talking about.
Just a happy.
I want to see song. A happy song.
You want to come up with a
Vito
challenge?
Vito called it out, and you're saying it. Okay, next week. Let's hear it.
At least a minute song.
The happiest song in the world that is not crap. You have 1 week.
Are we all going to do it?
You have 1 week.
Okay.
I will.
Keith?
Sure, why not?
60-second happy song?
Brian will come up with a reason why he couldn't.
See, I thought the Church of Man Love songs were happy, though.
Okay. I will say that they are, but... There's almost I say this gingerly as I step back and hold onto my chair and hope not to be struck. There's a certain air of insincerity in those songs. There's a
bastard.
There's a certain air of you're writing a joke song. Well, those guys, that they're writing joke songs with it.
Don't get me wrong.
I've written happy songs. I wrote a song called "The Workout Junkie" about what being in such great shape while I was 250 pounds writing the song. Like, and of course it's happy and stupid because it's done as a joke. If we're talking about real, true, see, this brings me to another whole thing. I was trying to say real art, but I guess like comedy, I guess to a certain extent is art. Though there's an art to that too.
Could there be a comedic factor in this happy song?
I don't think there should be.
You just sincere.
I want you to really make me feel happy. Well, tears of happiness, of course.
Or bring in the clown. Send in the clowns.
No, I think that's actually a sadness song. That's the opposite. Yes.
I think that's the whole.
All tomorrow's parties, hoo-sha-sha, the clowns.
I think the whole idea behind where are the clowns, send in the clowns, means that there's something unhappy going on.
All right, I'm going to beat you
up. I'm unhappy because the clowns didn't come in. I mean, it wasn't a competition. It's only an exhibition.
Oh, it's an exhibition. It's not a competition.
Obviously. Please no wagering, David Letterman. Yeah, what? You don't like when I make references to things and that just go over everyone's head? It's okay. Somebody's laughing. Somebody someplace got it and appreciates it.
Super Dave is listening somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly. Him and Chris Elliott are sitting next to each other. They gave each other a high five.
I can do it. I can definitely do it. I can write a happy song. We'll
see. But yeah, so you don't find that the majority of your artistic prowess came from sadness?
Sure. Definitely. I guess that's, it's a... It's such a heavy feeling to have. I guess you got to express it to actually cope with it. You know what I mean? Those are the feelings that I guess you got to really have to get out and cope with, or they'll drive you crazy.
I wrote tons of awful songs when the sadness happened. They didn't help me cope at all.
Really?
But they were better songs. They sounded good.
But even removed from music, I think I brought up earlier to you this week of something along the lines of...
Brett Favre throwing a million touchdowns when his dad was dead? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
No, I mean, I wasn't even making a joke.
I said, what moxie? No, I brought up to you something about, I don't know, certain things can only be revealed on the air once. And at this point, there's no reason to ever hold back. But, like, certain things can only be revealed once. And so, like, there's never going to be another opportunity to bring out that story. You know what I mean? Which is fine, but
for the first time, just one more time. And that's not going to happen. There is only one first time, is what you're saying.
Right, exactly. You know, like, and it's kind of like, yeah, you can talk about it again, but that moment where, you know, something is revealed and, you know, we'll, like it's happened a couple times and we've all just, like, looked at each other like, what? You know, like, that moment can only happen once. But it's like, what do you do? Keep hoping for, like, you can't change. There's only so many things in your past that you can discuss. There's only so many, like you said, you got to almost hope for bad things, you know? Like,
it's weird that you bring that up because I went to the Backyardigans live yesterday. I don't know if you guys knew that. I went to the Backyardigans live and it was really great down in Camden.
Not even hope for bad things, but hope for interesting things. Because a bad thing isn't necessarily something that's, you know, my car got stolen this week, which it would be for me. It would freak me out because I don't even have one.
Where did this car come from, and why is it gone? That would be your song.
Find my car, thank you, but it's not mine.
Thank you, no thanks. I never bought it. I don't know. I don't. Similar. Or Simular.
Similac.
Or Somus. I'd like to take a handful of them. You could... What? What did I say? Did I just say something?
It's something from Brave New World. Isn't it?
I gotta go.
What did he just say?
Soma. Isn't Soma the... Is Soma a real, like, drug or something? Soma was the drug in the book... Did you ever read the book Brave New World?
No.
It's the drug that everyone took to keep themselves, like, you know, like robots, or okay. You know, like it took them to get high because everything was so artificial. But like, I don't know why he just said that, and then I really don't know why he ran out of the room afterwards. So I guess we're never going to find out.
So what are you saying by being that if you can only reveal things once, how does that fit into this topic that we were talking about?
You know what? I really, really don't want to go deeper into why I was saying it because it really sounds lame.
Uh huh.
But, like, you know what? What the hell? I haven't held back anything before, so why start now? I was telling Chris, like, it kind of sucks in a way that, you know, like, some of these things that are being revealed for the first time, nobody's hearing.
Okay.
You know, like, and not to, like, not to start getting into, like, how many listeners we have or if that's going to escalate. If that's
nine. Elevate,
I'll tell you, even, something like that, but it's kind of like... Like, no one would ever, like, obviously we're not sitting and saying, well, let's save all our best stories for when we're on Z100, you know, like, but, like, it's kind of this thing, like, it can only be revealed once, and it's kind of a shame if at the actual moment when something's revealed, that's assuming something like that is interesting to hear, I don't know, because I don't listen back, but, if, you know, if something's interesting to hear, it's a shame that maybe four people actually get to experience
it. So, theoretically, what you're saying is... I wish every moment of every show could be listened to by a lot of people and we were revealing something great.
Right. I mean, is that so hard to follow?
I agree. I think that every moment of every show should be listened to by 360 billion people and should be fantastic. I agree. My kid just went running through the house screaming, so I'm a little confused right now.
Well, that's my theory. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Brilliant. Brilliant theory.
I disagree.
What else is new?
What else is in the news, Robin? I know that's not what you meant, but that's what it sounded like. What else is going on, Chris?
I'm trying to cross out the story that I just brought up, which is topic number 10, wanting to be heartbroken. One, for show prep. Two, it looks like it says or bong. I don't know what I could have possibly meant by or bong.
Or song? B-O-N-G, or song?
Or song, probably, but yeah. I can't... Wow, okay. Thanks, guys, for helping keep my notes. I try and keep track of my notes as I cross them out. Awesome. On our message board this week, our new and improved forum message board, the Heroes Talk forum, over at heroestalk.com/forum, our buddy Eric has always posed the question. The new question this week is, where would you be willing to go for the show? And we're not talking about personally, we're not talking about introspectively, we're not talking about in a limitations of the self way. Well, I guess it is the self, but of the spiritual self or the emotional self.
In other words, not physical, don't go there, bro, not worth it.
Right. Of the physical self. The question was posed, if Best in Show was offered an opportunity, as Fred yawns through the show, I guess there's his answer. If Best in Show was offered an opportunity to go to Tennessee to do radio, would you, could you?
I would.
Accept the offer.
Sorry.
Given if that, every all of the circumstances, it's just the place. We're just talking about the place. We're not talking about anything financially. We're not talking about other people. Family.
I think this time we're counting everything.
Everything has to be counted into it.
Because basically what Eric asked is, if we got an offer for a job at some radio station in Tennessee, I guess you got to assume it's not going to, you know, they're not saying, hey guys, we never heard, come here for $60,000 a year. It's going to be, you know, like...
Mm-hmm. I got news for you. I wouldn't go for $60,000 a year.
And which is exactly why my answer was, I would be on the first plane and no one would be with me.
I wouldn't go for $60,000 a year. I wouldn't go for... It would have to be... $90,000 a year for more.
But that, your family, you think your family would go though, Chris?
No, the reason is because my family won't go. I need to make New York money so I could send money back to New York.
Oh, so you would actually be away from the fam?
Oh yeah, I would be sleeping on your couch.
Say, that's big. You would do that? And to go back the weekends?
Absolutely.
That's
crazy. I basically do it anyway. Mm-hmm. I work until 11 o'clock at night, 5 days of the week anyway, so I don't care. I would totally go do it. And you know, I'd probably be home more often than I am now. If they could offer me the same money or a little bit less than I'm making right now, I would do that. Or if there was a way that I could make more money. Like, let's say they offered you $40,000 a year, but you'd be doing appearances where you can make $1,000 every third weekend, mm-hmm, or something like that, or a couple $1,000 every month. I would do that.
Keith, what about you? You would be out there.
I would go for $10,000 a year.
But the fam,
no, you would not.
Your fam
would
wouldn't
go for
go.
20, though.
Your fam wouldn't go.
20.
My wife would go, I think.
$20,000 a year. How are you going to support yourself for $20,000 a year?
In Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Easily. I don't think your wife would go. I don't think Keith's wife would go, though. Keith's wife wouldn't go.
I don't think so either.
She's New York, true and true.
Keith complains about about Staten Island not being New York enough. I can't imagine that he would go to Tennessee.
I love Tennessee.
No, I see. I disagree. I think Staten Island is a little too New York. The thing I hate about New York, which is arrogant people, I wouldn't have a problem going to a place like Tennessee. I don't like you. That's my problem with Staten Island.
All right, let's book a tour of Tennessee.
It's real hot. Tennessee's hot, Keith.
I don't mind the heat.
You don't mind the heat?
No, as long as it's air conditioning.
I'd have tons of problems trying to convince her to go, but in the end...
Why don't we go to Tennessee for a vacation? Why don't we book a Best in Show vacation?
And go. Tennessee's great. I would love to visit Tennessee again.
I've never been.
Oh, it's awesome.
Is that where Elvis is from?
Memphis, Tennessee, yes.
So is that where Graceland is?
In Memphis. But where in Tennessee do you want to go?
I would like to go to Graceland. Let's go on a tour of Graceland.
Could do that.
Really get in touch.
No, but I would go. I would love to go. Well, where would we be in Tennessee? If you're not in Memphis, where else? What else is in Tennessee?
Well, what's
Tuscaloosa in Tennessee?
Yes, it is.
No, I honestly don't know a lot. I don't know a lot about Tennessee. Nashville, okay.
Nashville, that's the big place. Nashville, that's okay. Where I visited. Nashville's great.
I would love to go on vacation to Tennessee. Just like seriously, could we plan family vacations? That all the guys of the show with our chicks, we go down to Tennessee at the same time, like book a floor of a hotel down there.
I would love to do that.
I think that would be awesome just to see. Like, all right, let's just say.
Why Tennessee, though? Why did Eric just bring out Tennessee?
He arbitrarily picked it. And as a result, I want to book us going down to Tennessee for a week. And I want to intentionally make a point to try and appeal to Tennessee radio stations.
We could do a sticker stop?
Go down there to do sticker stops, to go to radio stations and plead our case. And say, hey, we're New Yorkers coming to Tennessee. Be ready for us.
Oh, they'll be ready.
Ready to kick us out of the office.
The sheriff will be waiting on that highway for us to get there. Who's the guy with the pot?
I would certainly go if the money was decent and my family wanted to.
What's decent? No, your family's not going to want to go. Let's be honest.
No, my family's into moving. My family would move.
Your wife would go to Tennessee?
Yes. She likes to move. She would move.
Get her on the line. I don't believe that's true.
I think she would.
I don't believe that's even close to true.
Money-wise, it would have to be, you know, over what I'm making now. It would have to be, you know...
$40 a week? I think we could pull that off.
It'd have to be over 40 a year, definitely.
Oh, God. Dude, I wouldn't go for 40.
See, that's
like, I'm telling you, like, I'm not to, you know, not to say, ooh, dude, I make money.
Well, you're not going
to
go for 40 because you're going to be the only person working. Like, if my wife came, she would work. His wife went, he would work.
And again, my wife is not going to Tennessee.
Totally not.
I would have to support a family in New York at New York wages with my Tennessee salary.
Now, is there a destination, Chris, that you would not go to? Like Alaska, Cuba? Like, is there a place like where you would not go?
Radio Cuba. This is Best in Show.
Camden.
Oh, I would love to do Camden. Camden was so broken down.
Your number one station on the... your number one station in the Arctic Ocean. This is K-Boat.
It would come down to money, man. I don't care.
You'd go anywhere.
If you could pay me the price that I could support my family that's going to stay in New York, and there's a way that I could at least come home at least once every 2 weeks to see them for 2-3 days.
You would do Good Morning Baghdad.
Yeah, you know what? I would love to do good. Well, you know why I wouldn't? Because it would blow up the station. Exactly. The insurgents would try and kill me. That's the one thing that I wouldn't be down with.
Okay. When your life is.
But I would go to Europe. I would go to. I'd go any place in the continental U.S. I would love to go to Hawaii.
Hawaii would be
nice.
Oh
my God! Even though Hawaii right now, they're trying to get all the gringos out. They're trying to. I'm trying to think what the hell it is. The Hawaiian Kingdom or something. They're trying to secede from the Union.
Really? They're trying to make themselves their own country or whatnot?
Yeah, they're not going to, though. They can't be bothered. They can't go through all the effort that's involved in that.
Are they really trying to kick people out? I don't think they're trying to kick people out.
No, who said anything about kicking out? They just want to secede from the Union. They want to be their own country.
I'm sorry, I thought you said they're looking to kick all the gringos out.
Yeah, but I did, but I don't really... Do you really listen to the words I say? Because they don't mean anything.
Keith, any place that you wouldn't go to?
For a radio job?
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't leave the country.
You wouldn't leave the country.
Unless I got a nice sweet deal in like England or something and they're going to set me up with a lot of money to ease the pain.
What about
of
Canada?
Being in a foreign land. I'd go to Canada.
Okay, that's leaving the country.
Country though, please.
Oh, that's right. It is America. It is all America.
The Blue Jays were playing on my TV the other day.
Wait, you have BBC America too. Oh, so there's plenty of things from there that's on your TV.
You wouldn't want to be in KRX in Tijuana?
I don't think I'd go to Mexico.
No?
No, I think that would be fun as hell.
That would be fun as hell.
If you could pay me enough
exactly.
money.
Exactly. That's about as fun as it would be.
Your soul is burning. I would do just about anything as far as where. I wouldn't care. I'd be with it. Like I said, it's a matter of the finances. The finances. It's amazing that we're talking arbitrarily about this. We do a crap show. We do a crap show that isn't worthy of being on ham radio at this point.
And you know what the real bummer is? Is that even if for some reason somebody ever did want to give us a job, I know that it's not going to happen. Because nobody's going to offer us the $90,000 you need to accommodate you. Fred doesn't even probably want to take a professional radio job.
No, they would probably offer us $90,000. We'd just have to be split four ways.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
So you guys get one, and I take the rest.
So I get a raise from what I'm making?
Exactly. Oh, that would be tough. Imagine doing a radio show every day. Come on. You could really do it every day.
If I had nothing else to do, I had nothing else to worry about, it would be the greatest thing in the world.
I think it would be the hardest thing ever to do.
You wait until we build Heroes Talk Studios. You wait until DJ New Style and the Best in Show are in the same studio, and we go there, and we're going to start doing the show 3 and 4 and 5 times a week. It's going to be outrageous.
A day.
3, 4, 5 times a day?
Mm.
I would do a show at least once every hour.
Would you go to Abu Dhabi in that big... resort area they have that like
Abu Dhabi, isn't that the pyramid of naked dudes or something?
No, Abu Dhabi is a country.
No, that's Abu Ghraib or whatever.
Abu Ghraib prison.
The prison.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Sorry.
Did you say what did you call it the first
Abu
time?
Abu Ghraib.
No, what did you call it though?
You said Abu Dhabi.
No, what did you call it? How did you describe it? The pyramid of naked dudes.
Yes.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
But would I go there and do a show? You saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just being a jerk. It's like 105 degrees there every day.
That's hot. That's sweat, man.
Where is Abu Dhabi? It's the United Arab Emirates, right?
I don't even think it's real.
It's a fantasy land.
New York One, for some reason, tells me the weather in Abu Dhabi every morning, but only me personally.
For all the Abu Dhabians out there.
I think we could host a TV show in Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I wish I had that. I wish I had Arrested. What is that? Arrested Development?
Yes. The greatest hip-hop group ever.
Horrible.
What?
Horrible.
Hey, Mr. Wendell. Come on.
They had the old guy that didn't do anything but dance.
Yeah, Mr. Wendell. That's what I thought his name was. Awesome. So, was it Mr. Wendell?
Sorry, I was getting something ready and...
Oh, for outro music? Because I have something I want to play today.
You're killing me. Go ahead, what is it?
Do you have something you want to play?
I don't know which is better.
Can we do a double shot?
No, mine's too long.
Yeah, okay. Well, what's going to happen? The show that doesn't come on after us is going to complain?
Yes.
The white noise that'll be on after us will really be annoyed.
I was just going to randomly pull out a show from our old station and say those guys are going to be pissed.
The Indigo Kitchen. It's going to be pissed.
What was that technology show?
Leet Speak.
Who was the host? He was a nice guy. I don't remember.
Dizzy Dog?
Really?
I think it was Leet Speak with Dizzy Dog.
Sure it wasn't Debug?
Oh, Doug DeBug. That's absolutely right. Debug the Planet. Wow. We're going way inside. We're going way inside.
For some reason.
And we're having a personal conversation about stuff that means nothing to anyone here. New Style's probably sitting slapping his knee right now, but other than that, no one else cares. What? So can my song go first?
Yes.
You'll like my song.
Your song can go only.
No, I want yours.
No, mine's Scarlett Johansson, though.
Oh, yeah, no, then me.
No, it's not really.
Then play me twice. Outro today, me twice.
Mine's Billy Joel.
13 minutes before the show's over, we're talking about outros. As I was complaining this morning about the fact that, you know, I need heartbreak in my life, and I actually complained to my wife about it and said, you know, I need heartbreak in my life. I need something to make me want to do, to have stories for the show. Come here, like, divorce me or something, you know? As it is, her response was, you know, I sent you a bunch of emails this week of stuff I thought that would be interesting for you to talk about on the show.
Which were?
And my favorite one of that list, you know what, they were good, but they were all like news stuff. I'm into the personal stuff, but this is my favorite. There was a list of the 10 weirdest Asian pizzas. Okay? There's actually a craze. I don't know if it's a craze, but it's the way that pizza is done in Asia.
That's the weirdest thing of all, is that there is pizza.
There's Asian fast pizza. Food pizza. As I go through the list, you'll find that the vast majority of the pizzas on my list are from Pizza Hut. And I say, Pizza Hut, bring your Asian delicacies to our salty shores and let's enjoy some of the most magnificent creations I've ever heard of in my life. Number 10 on my list.
I'm so excited for this.
Is the whole shrimp cheese bite with tail on at Pizza Hut. You know how they do stuffed crust pizza?
Uh-huh.
They stuff the crust with shrimp. And the tail of the shrimp is sticking out in every, 3 inches as you go around it. Like it's a ring of shrimp around your pizza.
That is delicious. I could use it without the tail, but that sounds absolutely amazing. And what's on it? What's it actually?
Whatever you want. It's a pizza.
Oh,
it's a pizza just like anything else. Oh, as good as it is. Keith, you'd be down with that? Do you eat shrimp?
Tail on, meaning the tail is on.
No, by tail on we meant removed tails.
And I didn't know if it was a word you were saying, tail, like T-L-O-N, or if you were actually saying tail,
like
on.
Like Tail on Dane, the old singer.
Yes.
Shrimps don't have talons. Falcons have talons.
Yeah, tail with the tail still on it.
No, I wouldn't eat that.
I'm not suggesting you should eat the tail. You hold it by the tail and pull it off. You lunatic the same
way. So then the pizza's serving as a plate at that point. I don't want to have to remove anything from the pizza while I'm eating it.
You could probably remove the tail from the crust because it's encrusted in the crust.
You could bite it and hold the tail. That's it. Have you ever eaten shrimp with a tail on?
Yeah, I bit it and held it. But it just...
And you could do that with pizza, too. They've engineered pizza so that you could bite it and eat it at the same time.
But I don't... But then you have to use your hand to remove it. To remove the tail. Where's the tail?
They've actually worked out food that you can eat it and use your hands at the same time.
All right. Am I not following this? Is the shrimp on the pizza?
It's in the crust, sticking out of the crust. So the tails are like decorations around the outside, almost like a ring around the outside.
Oh, yeah, I'd eat
of the
that.
Pizza.
I just break them off first. Okay. I've had fried shrimp parmesan, and that was pretty good.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I forgot. I forgot for a quick second who I was doing the show with.
No, it's not time to end the show yet.
I can't eat ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard, meatloaf, ham, beans, vinegar, bologna, mushrooms, broccoli, food. I can't eat food. I can't eat food. I can't eat. If not for pizza and plain cheeseburgers, I'd starve to death. I am a monster.
I forgot for a second that that pizza doesn't get ruled in if there's shrimp in the crust, so we have to get that out of there.
What's all number right. nine?
Number nine on the list? Which, by the way, that last one was from Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut in Japan and Korea are offering the whole shrimp cheese bite with tail pizza. At Pizza Hut in Japan, if you weren't a big fan of that, you could also go for the shrimp and mayo crust pizza. So, in the crust is shrimp, no tail this time, but there's mayo in there as well around it, making a mayo shrimp burst in every crust.
With the cheese and the sauce, with the regular pizza.
No, it's in the crust. It's like a stuffed crust pizza.
But then you also have the cheese and the sauce with the mayo. Ugh, I don't know if that would be good.
I would say that if my pizzeria offered mayo as a topping, I would take it. I would try it. Disgusting. Next week on the show, the loser of the music challenge, even though there's no losers, has to eat a slice of pizza with mayo on it. Has to eat a pizza sandwich with mayo.
At least I know I don't have to write a song now because I'm out.
To me, sounds amazing. No?
No way.
You don't like mayo?
I don't. Not on my pizza. In my tuna.
But you like mayo?
Yeah. Not on my
tuna,
pizza.
Tuna, shrimp, kind of like the same thing?
I know, but it's with the cheese and the sauce. It's just too much.
But the cheese and the sauce aren't
going
to be in there. That's in the crust when you're done. Then you eat like this little crusty shrimp mayo bite.
When you eat a pizza, you don't eat the crust and the cheese and the sauce together. You don't have to take that one bite. That's like my favorite when I'm getting down to the crust.
Oh, no. I clean all the stuff off and then I eat the crust as a separate item almost.
See, I almost fold it up and eat it with it.
By the way, salivating. Salivating at the idea of mayo shrimp crust. Delicious.
Pizza. You want to ask me about that one?
No. No, I don't. Number eight on the list, something I personally won't be enjoying, but maybe you guys would. And by you guys, I mean Keith. The German King. The German King. Also in Pizza Hut, Japan. Sausage, bacon, and cheese stuffed into the crust.
Sausage, bacon, and cheese.
Sounds outrageous, no?
It does, actually. I couldn't... I don't think I'm going to eat sausage ever again, but I... Yeah, I sounds... Sounds like it would taste
Sounds foodie. Tasty. Sounds all food-erific.
The bacon seems like overkill, though.
Oh, no, bacon's not really good in pizza. Man, I miss bacon. Holy crap, do I miss bacon. Slice that pig. Just slice it thin. Fry it. Eat it. I forgot I'm doing a show with Porky today. I'm sorry. Number seven on my list is the triple cheese pizza. At Domino's in South Korea, they actually use three crusts and put a layer of cheese on a thin crust and a layer of cheese on a thin crust, and on that top crust they put the sauce of cheese to make it the cheesiest cheeser tin from Cheese Cheese.
I would eat that.
Unfortunately, the topping are prawns and squid, so you probably wouldn't. But as far as the
octopus eyes,
no, these different cheeses are all mozzarella cheese, or is it like Monterey
Jack?
No, actually,
no. You know what it is? It's cheddar. I want to say the second layer was some sort of Swiss, like Gruyere or something like that. And then the top, Camembert, I think it was. Camembert on the second layer. And the top was regulation mozzarella.
That sounds delicious.
I love cheese.
Delicious.
Oh, man. I know meat is murder and dairy is rape, but call me a rapist. I love it. Love it. Miso. Miso is also in Pizza Hut all over Asia. Miso is the new thing. It's instead of crust, it's rice patties. It's like a rice patty as your crust for your pizza. I'd take it.
That.
Number five, out of Pizza Hut in Hong Kong, abalone sauce cheesy lava stuffed crust pizza.
Abalone sauce.
That's what the name of it is. Abalone sauce cheesy lava stuffed crust pizza. Oh my God. Abalone is it's like tuna. It's like an albacore. It's just like a tuna sauce. Inside your crust.
I could be into that, man.
I would so be into that. Do I even bother asking, Keith?
No.
Okay.
No, do not. But once I ordered an abalone sandwich and I got a bologna sandwich, I was so mad.
Mr. Piz? Sorry, that's... Wait, no, not my sexual choices. It's a pizza choice. Mr. Piz is a chain, actually, in Japan. They have a new thing called the shrimp nude. The shrimp nude is... Cajun shrimp on the pizza, and the crust is a cream cheese mousse.
Yes.
How good, right?
Delicious.
I would try that one.
By the way, the last 20 minutes of the show should be described as just fat.
Delicious.
Just fat.
Mm.
If you like Mr. Piz, if you like him, and you like the idea of a cream cheese crust... You might like Pizza Hut South Korea's sweet potato mousse filled crust. It's stuffed with sweet potato mousse.
Best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Really?
Really.
I think it's good, but maybe not the best ever. There's a place in Japan called Strawberry Cones. Strawberry Cones. And they're really just disgusting. I'm not even going to bother going into the description of just like layers of fruit and meat on the same thing. Just hideous. So forget about strawberry cones. They don't deserve to be on the list.
I like pineapple on pizza.
But yeah, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Pineapple on ham used to be outrageous, but now that ham has become pig, I won't enjoy it anymore.
Did you believe that change?
And this is the number one?
The number one is from Mr. Pizza. Which I guess was the Mr. Piz that I just didn't write the A on before. Damn, I feel silly now. It's the cookie crust pizza. The cookie crust pizza where instead of actual dough, they use cookie batter to make their dough. And it comes with a blueberry dipping sauce. Ooh. But the regular toppings on the blueberry dipping sauce and the dipping sauce and cookie crust pizza is potato and shrimp. So I'm a little confused by that.
So potato and shrimp is on the actual pizza that you're dipping into this blueberry
yep.
sauce.
Yep.
Wow. That has cookie dough crust.
Yep.
Wow. I can't be into that.
So it's a blueberry potato shrimp cookie with sauce.
That's basically. By the way, our buddy White S. Brent in the chat room has talked about some of the others that were on the list that he read that I must have missed. Number nine was the Black Labrador calzone, which is delicious. Number seven is the Bukkake surprise stuffed crust. Number five is the Ho Chi Minh Trail garage pizza. And the number one on his list was the Kobayashi all-you-can-eat buffet pizza. Delicious stuff. I look forward to each one of those, and I will I'll have a part of them. I don't know. I just wish I wish we can get some of that Asian pizza here.
Why don't you just order Chinese food and dump it on your pizza and pretend it's number 11?
I so want to eat today. I hate that I'm going out.
The shrimp chow mein.
I'm so mad that I'm going out. I'm going out to buy food for my kid's birthday party. Oh, man, do I just want to be eating? Starving to death.
Why you plan on spending 7 hours out?
Basically, yeah, you can't eat that. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. We'll hear you guys here. No, you'll hear us. Hear us now. No, hear us talk. That's it. Next week at Best in Show. DJ New Style tonight on XM. Cocker Sox, steamroller, a roll of bass. We love you guys. Everything's good. I'm trying to think how much more time I have left until I hit the post.
Thank you to Vanessa Vito.
No, it's not now yet. It's now.